You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
What's up, YKWD fans? This is Rob Sprance from Riotcast, the other half of Riotcast, the better half, the brains of Riotcast, the guy who makes it all happen, the man behind the curtain, the guy with the big balls, whatever you want to call me. You know what YKWD would sound like without me? That's what it sounded like. Nothing. I'm just here to tell you that I have a show as well called The Hole, and I have a very special one-on-one interview with Anthony Cumia right now on riotcast.com/The Hole. Go check it out. Check my show out. Bobby doesn't even know I'm doing this commercial, but I own the network, so I'm going to put it in. And guess what? He can't do anything about it. Nothing. Go to riotcast.com/The Hole. Check out my interview with Anthony Cumia. Check out all my other shows as well and all the other great shows on the Riotcast Network. I'm the boss. I'm the boss. Please don't tell Bobby that I did this.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. Guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. And sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's intense.
It's Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude
podcast.
No topics, no directions, but I love doing it.
On riotcast.com.
This is where we start then?
Yeah.
Welcome to You Know What, Dude, the podcast on riotcast.com. My name is Sam Roberts. I'll be your guest, Bob Kelly, today. Do we go around the room introducing everybody?
Yeah.
I just, because the intro was like, it was so anti any sort of format or topic list or anything. I don't want to do anything.
It's not very friendly.
Yeah, I don't want to do anything that would upset anybody. That's too true. Well, Kelly is here. Everybody
Hi.
Knows Kelly.
Hey, Sam. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, good.
I'm
how are you?
I smell good.
Yeah. Dave Smith.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Sam Morrell.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. I trust your leadership abilities.
No, well, good. I do too. Joe List, of course.
Hello, everybody. This is, by the way, there's no way of doing this show without having somebody mad at you. Both in here and at home.
Why is that?
Somebody's already mad. They're going to tweet that you're a faggot because of something you did already.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're
all
tough
right.
people to please. And so, the room itself is pretty brutal.
So don't even worry about it, is what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
All right,
just
then
tweeted
I
that you were a faggot.
Why? Why would you do it?
Why did
I didn't
you
like
do
that opening,
that,
man.
We're just so supportive in here before the mics go on and then everybody changes.
Got a tweet from the hip.
I'm being supportive. I'm saying these other people are going to hate you.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And do we introduce Adrian? Is this his first time on the microphone?
Ooh.
Is he on the show or is he just
here?
I've
been
here?
On the show a couple times, yeah.
All right. Well,
we
Adrian.
Introduce him to the exit.
Oh. Well, welcome to You Know What, Dude. I don't know where Bob Kelly is this week. He just asked me if I would host the show. Does anybody know where he is?
I think
Hopefully
he's on
writing.
Holidays.
He's just on a vacation? I thought he had like some like work-related thing.
Busy man. Good luck going on.
You can't come in for an hour and a half when you're on. Where does he have vacation? It's a podcast.
Nah,
you could do it from anywhere.
He tweeted out a photo yesterday of him hiking.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
I have not had a vacation, and I can't remember when. I don't understand vacations.
Well, Bobby is very successful.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think he needs a job first.
Yeah, he's on a TV show. He's a podcast. That's he's a stand-up true. Comic.
Yeah.
He has a kid.
Kid is the big one.
He's overweight. It's a whole thing goes into it. You know what I mean?
And he lives in the suburbs.
He doesn't live in the suburbs now.
He's given up on this lifestyle anyway.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to You Know What, Dude. I guess... Oh.
Oh, here he is.
Oh,
thank
boy.
God.
Red entrance.
Before we were done with the intros, Lewis is here.
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
What's up?
Everybody didn't know that we were going to start without you, and then we weren't, but then...
No, dude, I had to get my son shots at the doctor today.
You gave him the shots?
I specifically did it.
Wow.
No, and then I left.
Happy to hear you're pursuing a different field besides comedy. Medical.
Joe List, everyone. Joe List. Yeah, and then I fucking jumped on the train, and then the train was creeping along for like 10 minutes. It was awful. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize.
Why was the train creeping along?
I don't know, dude. It was just fucking slow. Now, for some reason, in the summertime, the 2-3 train, now it just slowly, slowly creeps. Mm-hmm. And I'm just too angry for it. So I just scream into the air for no reason.
So I creep. Yeah. Yeah, so that's gonna be one of the ones where we all join in and sing a song from the 90s.
No, I was hoping this was musical.
Didn't work. My mic on?
I enjoy TLC.
I feel like Sam and Kelly's mic sounds good, but I can't hear myself or anybody else.
I can't hear mine at all.
That's your own insecurities.
Well, that's a good thing, Scopo.
Yours sounds perfect.
Thank you.
So maybe you should keep talking while we're working on... oh, there I am. Yeah, now I sound fucking hot to trot.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of these guys. But honestly, I mean, how much do we really need Dave and Sam's mic to be on? There's two Sams. That was a Maril thing.
That's the same person.
We have multiple Sams.
It's all right. So I
guess both very unattractive.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I think Joe's mic is a little too hot now. If we could just turn him down just a smidge.
What are you kidding?
I agree. Let's bring it down.
Closer to Scopo level.
Bring it down quite a bit.
All the way down?
Oh, boy.
Well, I guess we should talk about Robin Williams to start, right?
What happened?
Well, he's dead. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. He's dead now.
Lewis, how does it feel when your best friend in the world beats you to your punchline by 1 second? I've never had it happen.
Big J is here? Where's he at?
I thought you said that he's a bad friend. That's
Big J?
Telling me. Yeah, in private that time.
He is a bad friend. Dave is actually my best friend, and me and Jay think alike. That's why we're best friends.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah. What makes Big J a bad friend?
I was kidding, but if you want to get into it, his lack of
kidding.
Compassion. No, he's a good friend.
All right, good.
Jay's a good friend.
Well, so I guess I've been hearing all day from older comics who were kind of around Robin Williams, at least to some extent. Everybody in here is a younger comic. Does anybody have any sort of closeness to the...
He owed me like $50.
He did. He did.
Classic Williams.
I met him once at the Cellar, and I talked to him for like 30 minutes. He was really cool. He was just like... He was just talking about his wife, his second marriage, and his third marriage, and he was just so genuine and nice to just, you know, every comic who met him has a story that he was like, he talked to them like they were, you know.
And he looks at you and he shakes your hand. I met him once here with Soda and Bobby, and he was so, and I've never seen between me and Dan having to keep our shit together because we both wanted to scream. But he was just like so nice, like,
I bet
how
Soda
are you? What's your
scream.
Name? Blah, blah, blah. No, but you know what I mean? Like the excitement.
Wait,
like,
Soda's ecstatic. He's going to be in Mrs. Doubtfire too. He's going to be the lead role now.
Do you think was he being nice because he's nice to people, or was he being nice because you were a comic?
No, well, I think he just wanted to be around comics. He wasn't even going on stage. He was just hanging at the Cellar.
Really?
Around comics. Yeah. He just liked... Yeah. He was shooting something.
He was a nice
guy.
One time he told me Kelly Vistuka should quit comedy.
He did?
But that was just...
He really got it.
I really didn't think he... I don't think he remembers me.
You're confusing Robin Williams with everybody else.
You know, I get those two confused all the time. So.
Wow, five and a half minutes in, you guys are already into it.
I got a Robin Williams story. Micah Sherman, who's a wonderful comedian and improviser and a dear friend, he made me go see Robin Williams, like bought a ticket at the old Comedy Connection in Boston, which is my home club. And I was like, I don't want to buy a ticket to a show. And he's like, I already bought them. We're going to go. It's going to be hilarious. So he bought them early. So we sat in the front row. And Robin Williams called us faggots the whole show. For like an hour and 10 minutes. He was like, look at these two fags. Why don't you come out of the closet, you two? And it was like his thing. He kept calling back to it. And I was like a comic that works there. I was like 6 years in, just like staring at this guy. And the crowd would like lose their mind every time. He's like, and don't forget these two faggots over here. So that was my Robin Williams experience.
Is it a weird thing for a comic to go to comedy shows?
I to buy a ticket. That's probably the last time I bought a ticket and went to a show. Oh, no, I saw Stanhope.
And how long ago was that?
In the audience. That was probably 05, maybe 06.
Before you started doing comedy, though, would you buy a lot of tickets to shows?
I wasn't allowed to go into... I started when I was 18. So I couldn't go to shows. I went to one show. I saw Gary Goldman. Changed my whole life. I love that.
Apparently.
Occasionally, yeah. I'd go see Regan if he came to town or whatever. But most places, we can just get in for free.
I would go see Eddie Murphy. If he came back and did a performance, I would just go see him wherever it was. I would buy a ticket to L.A., wherever he did.
But he doesn't do comedy.
That's why I would buy the ticket.
So
that would be
saying,
a huge comeback. Yeah.
If Robert De Niro did stand-up, I'd buy a ticket.
No, that's not true. You're an asshole because Eddie Murphy has teased coming back to stand-up comedy. Shut up, Kelly.
He's been saying that for
you
20
fucking
years.
Cunt. I hear you fake laughing just to get at me. No, he's been saying he's going to do it. And he was a stand-up comic.
Yeah,
so no, Robert De Niro was not a stand-up comic, and he's not been teasing in the past.
King of Comedy, Lewis. He was a comic.
True.
I saw Joe List one time. I paid to see Joe List.
You really?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You opened for DePaulo.
Oh, wow. That's
but he came for Joe List?
You no, left after me, I assume.
Well, it would be nice.
Oh, that's really sweet.
What about the depression angle of because that's been the big story.
It's horrible.
Yeah, that he
he's
was
the happiest man alive.
Well, that's what everybody thought.
Apparently not.
I don't think he was.
There might be some evidence.
Why that? What hope does that give us? This guy was a movie star.
Well, he's sick
he's
and
rich.
We're not.
What was?
That's such
no, but you know what I mean. But
the happiest man alive.
No, but the thing is,
he hung himself.
You like really went back to back with.
At what point we believe that we're gonna like you know you want to like make enough money you can support yourself. Like he's a legend. We all look at him. He's as that.
But there's a price that
he
can support
himself. And then he has a mental illness that we are not dealing with.
But that's what I'm saying. With
did he find out how he died though? Did he?
Yeah,
hang
he hung himself
downstairs. It said it was
Did they, that he hung himself.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
But that's an interesting thing that Joe said about him having he was mentally he had a sickness because most people are just saying, well, you know, the thing about comics is they're always happy on the outside and crying on the inside.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we've all dealt with sadness, but like and depression even, but not to the level, obviously, that he's dealing with.
Yeah, but you know
with.
What? Who knows? I mean, he's at his age, and I'm just saying, like, I don't know if it's he has a mental illness or not, and I don't know that all comics are, like, that miserable, but
right.
There definitely is, like, a syndrome of whether it's, like, Chris Farley or someone like... who's the fucking guy? John Candy or like someone like that.
Belushi.
Yeah, I mean, these guys who are like very kind of happy, funny personas and then are really like
it's
dark.
Just, it's
well,
just
that, sad it makes them more poignant, I think, when they're this happy person. But then when it is a mental illness to take yourself, it's such a selfish act.
By the way, I don't know if I necessarily agree that it's a mental illness. I've been suicidal before. Have you guys not been suicidal at any points in your life?
I've tried to convince Lewis to commit suicide on a weekly basis.
I mean, I'm just being honest. Day. The only reason that, like, I swear to God, one of my first thoughts after I had a kid was, oh my God, I can't commit suicide now. There's no out. There's no exit strategy now if it really hits.
Right, but he had two.
He has three adult kids, though. It's a little different. And I will say, because my first reaction was like, ah, fuck, dude, that's pretty selfish.
You're talking about three adult kids with $25 million in the bank for them. It's like, it's not actually.
Yeah, it's not. Right, exactly. But my first thought was like, oh shit, that's kind of a selfish thing. You got a family. And my chick said that. She was like, yeah, but his kids are grown up. And if you're done, you're done. You know,
but how just grown up and
multi-millionaires for the rest of their kids are taken care of.
Right. You have left them like 10
years. When you say no, he's been suicidal. Like, I mean, you could say you're suicidal, but how close have you been? Like, if he had a rope around your neck, like, I'm definitely doing this. Oh, there's the doorbell.
I've thought
no,
about
no,
it.
No, not that close, but pretty close. Dude.
There was
like I think that Scopo tried to chime in. And we did like, yeah, let's finish.
I think there's a big difference between no, I think I'm going to do it versus okay. No, I'm actually going to
okay,
do it.
This one guy's done it for 60 years. You're fine today. This is a guy that had a daily struggle with it. It's most definitely a mental illness. I mean, he's a fucking.
I think all these little.
You've never watched Scopo's set and been like right there.
I mean, I just think
last
they're.
Night.
I'm looking at his hair.
Yes,
and
it is
that
a
way.
Mental defect. I just, dude, I don't know, dude. I think it's just not. I'm not going like, oh my God, this poor fucking guy. It's just like I think that depression, it comes in different levels. Like some people handle it in a different way than other people.
So it's hard to grasp though, because he looks like the guy who had everything. Like he had family, money, fame. He had a great career, so talented, and he still couldn't cope. Like,
yeah,
what
hope does that have? But that should tell you that it's not everything.
That's an illness.
But no one knows. Yeah, but I mean, look, man, at the end of the day, you can kind of. No one. All this, like, this is a disorder, this is an illness, is all kind of a bunch of bullshit anyway. They change every year what the disorders are and what isn't a disorder.
So you guys think it's a cop out when they say it's a disorder?
Look, we all have experiences in life. Our brains work different ways. Some of us are more fucked up than others. What psychologists do is they look at behavior and they go, well, this is out of the ordinary, this is out of. But it's all just kind of a guessing game.
But isn't that.
He was a fucked up guy.
Isn't that probably more because we have no idea how the brain works? So every year we figure it out more. So
no,
every year
well,
there's new diagnoses.
But part of it will also just be like political pressure. So there'll be like, gender identity gets taken out because like, oh no, now people are like offended by the idea. So it's not just that we understand the brain better. In Nazi Germany, they're talking about how like the white pure races that, you know, like it's a lot of it's also just like what we kind of want to decide is wrong or right.
I think we overdiagnose too.
Yeah.
You
definitely.
Do?
Yeah. 100%.
I think you guys are right. He's fine.
Yeah, obviously, right?
He's a big pussy. Fuck him.
Selfish.
Yeah.
Selfish is what he is.
I'm not selfish either.
That guy is dealing with a sickness that none of us have ever dealt with to
how
that
do you
level.
Know, though? How do
because
you know,
he just
though?
Fucking hung himself.
Well, hold on. I'm not going to hang myself at 59 and not 63. Like, you can't say, hold on, you don't know what anybody in this room is dealing with on what level.
But I feel like I'm pretty close to you.
His mental health has been documented. Like, for years, he has been it's been said that he's had horrible depression.
I don't know Kelly's fucking mental health documentation. Who knows? I'm saying you can't sit there and say nobody in the room fucking knows.
Yeah,
though.
But there's no way anybody here suffered with depression for 50 or 60 years. It's just impossible.
I mean,
you're right.
I think that's how we know that none of that is.
He wasn't thinking about it the last 5 days. He's been thinking about killing himself for 20 years.
I agree with Joe's sentiment that it's like, yes, this guy clearly got to
it's
a level.
Horrible.
Probably none of us have
so
dealt
sad.
With that level where we checked out, having millions of dollars, having all the fame, having access to all the things that you could work through this and still deciding to check out is
and
yes.
Loved so by everybody.
The second I got access to TV's Gotham Comedy Live, I said I couldn't kill myself anymore.
That was
if you mind to it, you really could do it, though. Please.
Does that freak anyone out at all? Like,
yes.
To think that, like, because I'm sure at some point when you work in entertainment, there's that thing of, oh, I just need to get that much farther. Oh, mm-hmm. I just need to grab that thing. It's like these brass rings that you set up for yourself that you realize that's a guy who had grabbed everything. There is no point of success you could get bigger than Robin Williams, and it doesn't help. That and that goes to Joe's point that it is a mental sickness.
It's I think
a,
it's also it's how you look at it because you know I've mentioned this story on the podcast before, but I've talked to Bobby many a times about just not being satisfied with whatever you get. The it kind of wears off the gratification and the feeling of that wears off very quickly. And he was talking about Louis C.K. and how you know now he has to get another Emmy, otherwise he's failed. So any I think
right.
anybody who's successful or anybody who is going towards something like
true.
This,
yeah.
you're always trying to reach for the next thing. And no, I don't think and. That it depends. It's the glass is half full, the glass is half empty.
I remember Joe saying
because you can look
that.
At that as a very positive thing. You can say, hey, dude, I'm just going to keep on pushing and keep on, you know, but you're going to drive yourself crazy.
But it's almost kind of like you're always going to be where you are in a sense. I remember you telling me this, like a couple years ago in the Caroline's Green Room, and you were, Joe, you were saying how, like, everything in your career, you keep thinking that's going to be the thing. You're like, okay, I got management, or I got a TV
right.
thing, I got this festival, I got this. You're
herpes.
Like, now I'm going to be here. It's always, this is going to be it now, man.
That's what
I got these herpes, nothing
right.
can stop me. but it's never kind of really, you're still kind of that guy, and it's still
right.
the same kind of like, I don't know, you got to find happiness in the moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, and look, there are nuns in third world countries who are very happy. You know, you have to
right.
you have to look at like what you have and be happy then, or you're never going to be happy.
I'm happy right now. I love all you guys.
I love you too.
I don't know you too well, but you seem nice.
We love
you
Joe.
Too, Joe. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Do you think that? But
that's
are
the
you,
end of the show. Thank you.
Are you all of that mindset that like you think this thing is going to be the thing? Like you still?
I can't help but do it. That's always
you're still there.
Always like I'll just be okay when I get this. And
yeah,
and that comes and it's.
But logically, you know that that's not true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I well, do. I do intellectually
yeah.
know.
Yeah, a weekend at Stand Up New York did nothing for you.
Part of that is necessary in our thing. You should be happy. I'm a happy guy. I'm happy today. But I also am like, I want to do Letterman again. I want to get a half hour. But that I think is healthy because I'm like, I have to make money and keep moving further so I can
you
have a career.
You just can't rely on those things for happiness.
But that's yeah. the difference, I think. That people, if you were depressed, you wouldn't be happy today because you'd just be...
Sure.
Like, thinking like, about that half hour and then
right.
exploding.
Yeah, what you don't have would just be encompassing your mind.
But it's right. also about funny because there's lots of jobs where you're looking for the next thing. It's like, look, dude, who have you ever... Funny people are a little messed up, man. Like, who have you ever met who had like the typical household with two loving parents, white picket fence, straight A student, hilarious fucking guy. It's not
Kelly
that
Fistuka.
Jerry Seinfeld. Every time I hear about Jerry Seinfeld, everyone. He always seems really happy.
Jerry always
up.
Talks about how he was kind of like a class clown. He was always that guy. That's not who he is. Like, I'm telling you, it's always a guy who's
Jerry
a little
seems
bit
like
outside.
He's in a constant state of irritability. Though.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah,
yeah.
He's not a normal guy at all.
Nobody's ever,
guy.
Like, there are no stories about him just being a nice guy. Like,
yeah, no.
there is that Robin Williams story that Sam told a minute ago, that doesn't exist for Jerry.
Right, yeah. yeah.
I've never heard it. You know, do you think that, well, do you think being funny is something that people develop for one reason or another?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
Like, you don't think people are just like, I
Hold
happen
on, ask
to.
Ask that question again. I'm sorry. I misunderstood it.
Like, do you think you have to develop being funny for a reason, whether it's to
oh,
avoid.
For, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like you're just born. Oh, you just happen to be born with a good sense of humor.
No, I think you're born with the capacity to develop it.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're born, but I don't think that necessarily would develop into humor. Like, it could just develop into something else. I think it's like. Don't get me wrong. There might be like a mentally retarded person can never develop into being funny, no matter what experiences they
have. Those are the funniest people.
Yeah, because they're born hilarious.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like it's an evolutionary trait. You know what I'm saying? Like you're funny to get ahead. We do everything to just get ahead. Whatever. If you think of it from like a Freudian standpoint or another standpoint, but it's all just to feel great or to get ahead or to get laid or whatever it is. So I think that it's just another trait to get you there. The same way that being well, doing well in school will get you there.
It's
or being
like
athletic.
It's just like it just kind of like what you have to find some way to survive and get forward. I think a lot of times people are put in situations. I think what happens to a lot of funny people, I think this was me definitely, is that at some point you kind of do assume the identity of I'm the funny one at like a young age, you know, like whether it's second or third grade, you go, well, that's my thing is I'm funny. Right. And then you just kind of develop that, you know?
Yeah, because I think some of it has to be predisposed though, because I know for me, I know going in, I was never the smart one. Like, I was never going to get great grades. I was always going to be an average student. But I could be an asshole.
It's about assuming an identity and a role. You know?
So you think the fact that I figured that out early on is to say, well, you could have been the smart one, but you decided in second grade that you
were. I think that's like a physiological thing. Like, maybe you're just not the smart one, but you still develop traits that would get you to still be neck and neck with everybody else.
Who's saying you could have been not smart and not funny?
Right.
A lot of it's about getting laid, too. It's like, I'm not going to get laid any other way. I got to be funny.
I think I agree. That's one of the things that Freud said, that I really do believe that almost everything we do just to get laid.
Did he say that literally? Was that a direct quote?
Freud basically said that sexual motivating factors were like throughout every action
everything.
In life. Like
everything.
Well, what he actually said was, I want to slam my dick into that puss.
Right. You wanted to clean it up a little.
It was with the German accent.
Right. Did he fuck his mother? Was attracted to his mother?
Well, that was
Oedipus.
His like...
his theory. He says everyone is attracted to their mother.
Freud said that?
He was coked up at the time.
Yeah. Because I don't think you can quote Freud on being funny, because I don't think I want to sleep with my mom.
Well, we were talking actually about Chris Scopo's mother. Yeah. We are all attracted to
Freud Chris also Scopo. Said that like laughter is just a release of tension.
It's latent anxiety.
And so much with women is discomfort that, you know, if something awkward happens, that's funny. You know what I mean? So I think that plays into it too.
Like you just have to laugh it off.
Yeah.
Like you just have to know how to take the moment and turn it into something funny. That's the skill you develop.
Girls describe vaginal discomfort after I'm done with them. Hello, buddy. I'm trying to get laid. I hit my elbow real hard, but I made that fart noise.
Sorry to hear that.
It hurt.
But that's the thing. Bad. You didn't develop athletic skills because you're funny.
Oh, I'm a great athlete.
Are you?
Yeah, terrific.
What
sports? Joe's actually really good at basketball. I played with him.
Really?
Well, and football. Remember, you were afraid of the ball when I was throwing it to you because you're a big girl.
I wasn't afraid of the ball.
You were. Why? Can you take those glasses off now? I think that bit's...
Yeah, why are you wearing your sunglasses inside?
Because I'm a real-ass dude, Puerto Rican rattlesnake.
Oh.
Speaking of real-ass dudes, I noticed no response to the Listomania t-shirts.
You know what? We're working on something right now. I'm not responding until the plan is completely completed.
Oh, what are the Listomania t-shirts?
Are your fans working on it or are you?
I don't have fans. I have interns, and I'm making them work on it.
You should get fans, too.
Don't need
them.
Why also fans are better than interns?
Why have fans when they can not only come in and hang out with me, but they could also get college credit for it?
But fans generally will pay
for
things that
you
do.
You can't get college
credit
for being an intern for you. You actually do something like with a corporation or something big.
That's not true at all.
I just thought a real ass dude would have retorted to my Listomania's challenge.
Well, sometimes
what is the challenge?
I had some Listomania. The leader of the Listomaniacs, Frankie G.
Oh wow!
Showed up, sat front row at my show this weekend with Listomania shirts.
Are you not the leader of the Listomaniacs?
No. I can't. I'm just living my own life. They formed on their own.
You're an island.
Lewis is the leader of the Gomites. He's got intern. It's a whole thing.
Well, he doesn't have any fans. He was just saying that a minute ago.
I'm just living my own life, and some Listomania developed beyond my control.
That's amazing.
And so they showed up with some shirts. And
it's a real grassroots movement.
It's grassroots, and we threw out a challenge to the Gomites, and nothing. Nothing yet.
Where are the Gomites on this?
The Gomites are working hard.
Is this a fight? What do you mean a challenge? Like, is it?
Well, sex,
no, he
not
wants,
a fight
he
because,
wants me to retort and have my own T-shirt.
Oh, it's a T-shirt
I don't say
challenge.
That. Just any retort, just nothing, just mute. Or
yeah,
mute.
Because
is
hey,
mute
Joe,
or mute?
You know what, Joe? Maybe I'm not going to fucking respond to every challenge you issue.
Well, I thought a real ass dude.
A real ass dude does what he wants to do. That's what a real ass dude does.
Oh, all right,
that's true.
Sounds
those
like a
glasses
real-ass.
Look like they came from a 60-year-old Jewish woman. They got like fake kind of Dementis on the side. Could you get better ones?
Yeah, hold on, let her keep on going. Oh, don't
they say it's the best way?
You guys, please.
Best way to deal with a heckler or Kelly Festuca.
But they're terrible. Could you get better glasses? They look like girls' glasses.
Good save.
I'm going to keep rolling with
that
it.
A fact?
I guess.
It's not a joke, it's a fact.
Take your bandana.
That's the way to get out of it.
Your response? Senator?
You don't have to. You don't have to acknowledge
that. I decided
that
I'm not going to argue with Kelly anymore. I'm over Kelly.
Does anybody have a Robin Williams movie that they enjoyed growing up?
I say all the shit that sticks out to me about him is his fucking dramatic. I thought he was an incredible dramatic actor. Goodwill
Hunting.
Yeah. Poets
Awakening.
Fucking dude.
Awakening.
Like,
is so good.
I thought, you know, what's the one that people sleep on that I thought was like an amazing film was What Dreams May
Come.
That was a beautiful fucking movie. He was an amazing actor.
Yeah.
I think actually far more than
which,
a funny
which
comedian.
Which movie is that?
What Dreams May Come. It's like Cuba Gooding Jr. is in it.
Oh, yeah.
And he dies and he's in heaven. He's trying to get his wife back.
Oh, I remember that.
It's all his whole heaven. Made out of paint. It's like really cool, man.
Did you ever see 1 Hour Photo?
Yes.
What a fucking
that
creep.
Was great. But he had range like that. Like
yeah.
He is a great actor.
He also went to Juilliard. He wasn't like.
Yeah, he was no joke.
Just a comic. He was. With the Julia, it's a big
school. There was like a time, like the guys who got big back then, like the Eddie Murphys, the Robin Williams, like there was that time right there where you had to be like a genuine fucking like Renaissance man.
Well, if you go back all the way to like vaudeville times, they
right.
like expected that you would just do fucking everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it was still, I think that's been wearing away more and more.
But like Robin Williams, I mean, dude, this motherfucker could act. He was like, you watch what like him and Eddie Murphy did on SNL, and then it's like, fucking Pete Davidson is on the second audition for SNL right now. It's like Pete Davidson can just smoke weed and slowly tell jokes into a microphone. That's all he's got. How is it possible? Like we've come from Eddie Murphy and by the way, I love Pete. I think he's great. He's a great comic.
I think he's the next Eddie Murphy.
But it's fucking crazy to me that like you had to be that good back then, and it's just not the same standard anymore.
Yeah, but you didn't have to be good at every like Joe Piscopo. Was like, you know, he does.
He was a genius.
Also, Seinfeld couldn't act at all. He's terrible as an actor, and only did stand up. And he was huge from the same time period.
Yeah,
Rodney Dangerfield.
I think he's
kind of a great actor.
I feel like Seinfeld got big after the 80s, though.
But Rodney just was doing himself.
Seinfeld was huge before he got the show in 89. Seinfeld was a millionaire.
He'd done like Johnny Carson like nine times or something.
Yeah, but no, he wasn't.
Rodney,
hold on,
Jerry, there's a lot of people just doing
Jerry wasn't huge the same way that Robin Williams and Eddie Murphy were huge in the 80s. Those guys were rock stars in the
80s. No, but I'm saying.
Jerry Seinfeld was like a road comic who was a big road comic.
But I'm saying you can be wildly successful just doing stand up. I just don't think it's a thing of like, well, you used to have to do this and.
No, I'm not even talking about as stand-up. Obviously, you can. You can be wildly successful at any time just doing stand-up. I'm just saying, like, the standard of what these guys were doing, these fucking rock star comics, it was pretty crazy. They were just doing kind of everything.
Well, there are. I mean, maybe they're just... We're like, you guys are all just comics. There are still rock star comics, right? Like, Kevin Hart, I guess, is a rock star comic, isn't he?
Russell Peters.
Sure. Is he a good actor, Russell Peters?
He was in a movie. With Jake Gyllenhaal on a train.
Was he
that's
good?
All I remember.
Yeah, dude,
well,
he's not.
He played a comedian on the train.
I think that's a big jump from Kevin Hart. I mean, like, Kevin Hart isn't judging on Last Comic Standing next season. Like, Kevin Hart is a fucking, you know, like, that guy's a rock star. That
and, like, Louis can act.
Yeah, now he's
right
into it. Right,
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr can act like
really
crazy.
Good in, that movie with Elizabeth Banks that just came out. It was a terrible movie, but he was really good in it.
You think about it, there's not, like, you look at Eddie Murphy's specials. Like how big those specials were. I know that apparently like the show that Kevin Hart does that was like in the theaters, it's bananas. I didn't see it, but I guess I'd have to see that. But there's no guys that just kind of like it feels like a rock star is on stage.
I think it's also because like when Eddie Murphy was putting specials out, there weren't that many different forms of entertainment. It was like everybody's seeing that Eddie Murphy special. Kevin Hart puts out a special, and he's in Madison Square Garden, and he's in the round, and there's pyro going off, and it's a bigger special.
But there's not three channels at home. There's
right.
Fucking 30,
there's so much shit to watch.
YouTube.
That,
yeah.
Who goes to the movie theater?
But look, rock star comics are kind of a rare thing. I think you get like Kevin Hart does it. I do think Eddie Murphy did it. I think Dane Cook did it for a minute.
Mm. Yeah.
There. I think Dice did it for a little bit.
Yeah,
Martin,
but Steve Martin,
one.
Maybe. Yeah, like those.
There's an
guys.
Arena style of comic, though. Like,
sure.
You can't picture like a Stephen Wright in an arena.
Well, no matter how big Chappelle got, he was never that type of comic.
Well, Chappelle, he's kind of almost like doing his own thing. But what he did at Radio City, where it was like, what was it, like 15 nights, and they had like Erykah Badu one night, The Roots one night, Kanye another night.
Pretty cool.
That's as big as it gets, really.
And he's smart because he realizes I'm a comic. I'm not a rock star.
Well, he had
but I'm going to invite some rock stars. to hang out. I'm going to have Kanye West on my show.
I saw Biz Markie open for Chris Rock once. Yeah. Like they make a, black comics make a show out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's just Chris Rock
white
being
comics
like,
don't do that.
I'd really like to hang out with Biz Markie for a night. I'm going to book him to open for me. Right.
Dude, turns out $1,500, not even that bad. Biz Markie will do your birthday party.
Wow. So he's not just a friend.
That joke killed the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so I think, I don't know if comics had to be more before. I just think that there's always been an option to do more. But some comics have always been just comics. Like Stephen Wright's been around forever, and he's just a comic. He's not like, he doesn't wear red leather. You know what I mean?
That's the older style of comic though, because comics now have to do everything.
You think so?
People like Stephen Wright and everyone that...
See, you're having conflicting... this is why I think he was saying back then comics had to do everything. And now we're saying comics have to do everything now.
Well, I think Kelly's referring to like podcasts and stuff like that where Lewis is talking about movies.
No, by the way, I also wasn't saying they had to do everything then. I was just saying that there were certain guys that were fucking like how amazing was Robin Williams at being an actor?
Yeah.
Like, hold on. Who are the comics now that are doing what he did? Kind of across the board. I don't know if there's many guys that are doing it. Kevin Hart, sort of, but Kevin Hart isn't doing lead dramatic roles.
You're right, he's not.
But he's got a lot of time. He might. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that you had to do anything, that you misunderstood what I was saying. I'm saying he did. And
no, I'm saying, look, comics amazing. Nailing dramatic roles like that. Adam Sandler tried to do a few different things that I thought were pretty good.
Jim Carrey's
like,
great.
Over me. Jim Carrey's
great. Eternal Sunshine.
But no one's done
Punch
what fucking Robin Williams
movie,
did.
Though.
Dude, Robin Williams put out fucking like... amazing dramatic performances.
No,
like,
however,
Poet Society is
however,
a like staple.
However, those stand-up specials are unwatchable.
Yes, I agree.
So it's sort
yeah,
of a sliding
right.
scale, rarely. And Louis is doing some great dramatic stuff now and is going to continue. And I think Burr is too. And Kevin Pollak was a comic that's been in great dramatic roles.
Oh, that's right.
So like Robin
and
Williams
also have stand up that's like really kind of like Louis has like really great specials as well. So I'm with you on that. I just don't think I think of all time comedians as dramatic actors. I think Robin Williams was the best.
And like, but Robin Williams was I think you're right. He's probably a better comic and dramatic actor than he was a comedian. Most people
it looks like a Dennis Leary type. I much prefer his acting to his stand up.
But people,
easy.
When people were remembering Robin Williams like yesterday. It was all his movies. Nobody was like, remember that great special he did.
Right, right.
Dude, we were talking about before the Huffington Post article. I literally, like, you know, we're talking about like Dead Poets Society and Goodwill Hunting and What Dreams May Come. They go, HuffPo goes from Mrs. Doubtfire and Jumanji. That was great.
I was at Fox News yesterday doing Red Eye, and I'd watched O'Reilly on the prompter. I watched him do his tribute for. They had to scramble to get guests to talk about Robin Williams, and his guest was James Carville to talk about. He was like, he met Robin Williams. Once he just told this story about meeting him once.
Who's that again?
He's like a pundit.
The Raging
Cajun
guy. Pundit.
Yeah.
He's our old school. Right.
He's a pundit. They probably met at like a Clinton fundraiser. Was that what you were saying?
Yeah. I don't know. He worked for like Bill Clinton. He's like a Democrat.
The bald dude, right?
Yeah.
But I think what Kelly was saying a minute ago was that, I feel like now comics actually are expected to be comics all the time. Like there's not this thing where maybe 15 years ago. You were a comic on stage.
I think Rodney Dangerfield got to do movies because of his stand-up. Like, after a certain point, then it was like, we're going to make you a big star.
But Ronnie was doing a character Ronnie's doing that character he does on stage in all his movies, whereas Robin Williams was super versatile and different type of characters.
But, like, now, like a comic... Comics are expected to have podcasts. Comics are expected... Like, because when a comic has to do a podcast, you're expected for it to be funny. And you're expected to do it every week. So you have to come up with material... every single week, aside from what you're working on stage, which was not the case, you know, even 10 years ago.
And it's a lot more about, like, being real. Like, I feel like we live in this post-reality TV world where now it's like if Rodney was alive today, people want to hear a podcast about him saying what it was like to do that character. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear from, like, the real Rodney Dangerfield what it's like to be Rodney. You know, like, that's...
People are almost looked down on... if you're just doing a character all the time.
And it even affects the way stand-up comedy is on every little nuance. Like, it's like, there can't be any... There's no more of this, did you ever notice? Or the other day... Now it's like, it's got to be presented as a real conversation,
but
as like a
there's
real...
There's still some stuff. Jezelnik is very absurd.
Colbert.
And doesn't do anything that actually
happened.
Sacha
Baron Cohen, you know?
Yeah, so there's still some styles of wacky.
Sure.
I was thinking about this
comedy?
The other day. I had a girl fucking... I think it all kind of ties into social media in a weird way. And,
because
the availability
because
of the celebrity.
And you all have to be on Twitter putting out jokes on Twitter
all the time.
New jokes constantly.
I got a piece of hate mail the other day. Some bitch was just fucking tweeted some shit at me. And I just remember the other day, it's like, it is so easy to hate now. Like, if you hated somebody 20 years ago, you would have to fucking write a letter, figure out where to send it. Like, you'd have to be a psychopath, obsessive fucking lunatic to let a celebrity know you hate their work. Now you can literally just fucking with it in a touch of a button. Sorry, good night.
And it comes up on their phone like a text right into their world.
But you're having the best day of your life, and then this bitch gets in your head for no reason.
But it'd be so easy for any of us to give that up. But we're so eager for somebody to say something good about us that you have to have it on your phone. Like, it'd be so easy. So, all right, so take it off your phone. Just check Twitter on your computer or have it for business purposes or whatever you want to do. But you're so eager for the positive feedback. I hope you like that.
Well, by the way, 99% of it is positive feedback. I mean, look, you get a lot of haters out there, but there's way more people that are fans.
Lewis? Let's give an honest ratio.
82% of it is negative, and I'm really trying to get my Rotten Tomato score up. But it really is. But the truth is, the negative shit, it eats at you so much more. It hits you so much fucking harder.
Yo, yeah.
Like, I can't even ignore it. I literally just started blocking people like 2 weeks ago, and now that's become my new favorite thing.
No, you don't block. You don't block. There's something way better than blocking.
No, I don't like mute. Dude, mute.
Why?
I want them to know they're blocked.
No, because if you mute somebody.
They don't know.
They don't know. And so they're just sitting there tweeting in the wind, and you've left them on an island all by themselves. If you block somebody, on some level, they know that they've gotten to you.
No.
I got him. He was so pissed.
That they are muted in my world. If they don't know.
But that means they got you upset.
Then it seems that I'm ignoring them. I don't want them to think I'm ignoring them. I want them to know they can't. Here's the thing. I'll tell you. I've been blocked. And I know the feeling of being blocked.
Who blocked you?
Just some fucking douche.
Let's just start off at the beginning.
Jim Gaffigan. Some dude blocked me because I was arguing with him on Twitter. And I remember I was like, I can't say anything. And it fucking made me so upset that he shut me down and I couldn't say another thing.
Also, blocking it doesn't necessarily mean it got to you. It means, like, I'll block someone. They're like, yeah, this is whatever, you're gay, whatever the fuck. And I'm like, I don't need this block. It's not like I'm like, fuck, what am I gonna do? I'm upset. I'm just like,
yeah, but in their head,
my life blocks.
They can now define that however they want. They can.
But I don't care what happens in
you
their
don't.
Head.
Sam, have you been blocked before?
They're not in my head.
I don't think I have knowingly been blocked before.
So you probably have been muted though, and you don't even give a fuck. You're just living life.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
Why is that good? You should feel like a shithead. If you knew you were blocked by some fucking dude, you were getting at him, and he got the last word in and said, "Fuck you, you fucking afro head, fucking weirdo," and then he blocked you.
I'm about to block you.
You'd be like, what the fuck? And that's that. And then he wins.
So
the winning, this is the thing. I've had this conversation before. It's all winning and losing. You, whoever, if you're not bothered and you're happy in your life, then you win. It doesn't matter if you mute.
I told you I'm suicidal at the beginning of the show. I'm not happy.
He's literally only alive because he has a kid.
I got
that's it.
I got a tweet the other night, something like nice job, but you should shave your neck. I'm like, I just entertained you for free, asshole.
Right.
You know? Like, you're giving me grooming tips?
So did they get blocked?
We should shave your neck.
No, I didn't. I should shave my neck. That's what this is all about, really.
With an open razor across.
Yo.
Yeah, I got one. Some of them, actually, the worst part is some of these insults make me laugh. Someone told me I look like Michael Phelps with Down syndrome. And I kind of was like, that's kind of funny, actually.
Right.
Sam, just wait until your set's been up on YouTube for like 6 months and there's like 5,000 comments. And it's the worst shit you've ever read in your life.
Does that happen?
Sam, just wait. Do you think he doesn't have stuff that's
on
YouTube?
There will not be 5,000 comments.
just let him collect up. Let the comments collect up.
How do you say you're just on YouTube? Wait, like you've been doing comedy twice
Hold
as long
on, wait
as
a minute.
Just wait till your stuff's been out there like mine has. Just wait till you have 5,000 shitty comments on your video. Yeah, that's probably never going to happen to Sam's video.
Yeah, we've all got videos on YouTube with not 5,000 shitty comments.
Okay, so it's an exaggeration. So maybe 200, Sam. And it's horrible. Don't even read it.
That's a lot. I mean,
do you have a lot of comments on your YouTube videos?
I don't really put much out there.
Oh.
I don't put anything out
so
there.
So how do you know? Maybe it's not that
because
bad.
Because I read other people's. I read someone else's that's been up, you know, that did Letterman.
Wait, so
and it's like, why is this guy retarded? And I'm like, he's my friend.
Your feelings get hurt when...
For my friends, yeah.
Does any of you feel that way?
Yeah. It's horrible.
I love it when my friends fail. Love it.
Yeah. By the way, I swear to God, dude, there's nothing more hilarious than watching my friends do poorly in any situation. It's great.
It is.
I love it.
I don't want to see my friends fail at life, but like just like bomb on a show.
One bad
sure.
set.
That's
right. If you know they're funny.
A single tweet where you're like, I like you, everybody else sucked. You're like, yeah.
If you saw your friend fail on Letterman, though, you'd be like upset for him.
Yeah. I did well.
Well, Letterman, that's kind of a big reach from some guy on Twitter.
Six applause breaks.
You'd be great, Joey.
I mean, that's not an exaggeration.
Look, here's the thing. It was like one of my best friends. I would actually hurt. I would feel for them. I would hurt for them. But if it was a casual friend, oh my God, I would share with all my friends. We'd be on a Facebook chain with 30 comics.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Do you, is there pressure amongst you guys to actually be entertaining on Twitter?
Yeah.
Like you do feel like I have to give these people something to follow.
People also like
even though you're making no money off of it.
But there's some comics that have booked late night sets because they're funny
because
on Twitter. They do it and they stink.
You're talking about what?
Joe, you don't believe this at all?
What comic booked a late night set?
She's talking about Rob Delaney. Rob Delaney.
That's Rob not Delaney. Why
those last six tweets.
He's
I wanted on Letterman.
here's what happened. Rob Delaney is popular on Twitter and he has fans, so he submitted a tape to Letterman and got booked off of the tape that he sent. He didn't get booked because of his tweets. You idiot.
That's really hurtful, isn't it, Kelly?
No, I wish I could block him now. It's horrible.
Kelly thinks you've submitted for late night 20 times.
I keep tweeting.
I haven't done it yet.
Have you not seen my Sharknado tweets?
I haven't even got a favorite, let alone a Letterman.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
But you do feel pressure to be entertaining on Twitter?
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, you gotta, and you are being paid in a weird way. We're being paid as entertainers overall to bring people out to shows, that's really what it comes down to. So putting out that content is getting fans, keeping those fans. Each fan is invaluable. They're actually worth over your career X amount of dollars. I'm sure people have actually, like, in the music industry, I know they put out studies on how much a fan is worth. So when, like, we're doing a barbecue at the Creek on Sunday for Legion of Skanks, they were like, oh, well, do you want us to add $5 to the cost so you guys can make money off it? I was like, fuck that. I would rather do it to where we have more people and more fans come out and hopefully turn that into more money.
Yeah,
in
let's
the
have
long
like a
run.
Great time, and then maybe these guys like come out to shows for the rest of their.
So yeah, when you say you're not getting paid, no, I'm not getting paid to write a joke on Twitter, but the more people that I have that are willing to come and see me.
Or when Louis C.K. goes and like plays some huge fucking arena, he's not getting paid for that night. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's getting paid for the last 30 years that he's put into like developing this act.
Right, so it's not so like, it's I should just do gigs like this all the time.
Well, he also has said, I heard him say in interviews, that he'll do like slightly smaller venues than he could because it's just a better show and he thinks people will come back.
You know? Mm-hmm.
He could do huge.
That's why I do LOL. Make sure it doesn't get too big.
Oh, boy. Do I have to read that ad?
Yeah. You can do that now if you want.
One time.
Did you guys hear about this? You know, football season is just around the corner.
What?
That's right. It's just around the corner, and you could get your piece of $5 million during kickoff week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. You've already been scouting players for your season-long team. Use that knowledge to win instant cash at DraftKings.com. Last year, one player turned $11 into $4,000 in one weekend. Another player won $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football. Fantasy football is way more exciting at DraftKings.com, where you can win huge cash starting the first week of the season. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Use promo code Kelly, and you'll get free entry into the week one $5 million kickoff bash. Enter Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, for free entry now at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. And I would recommend you do that now.
Oh, boy.
I wonder.
There's some more ads for you.
Right now?
We can do them later if you want to.
Well, I don't know. I don't care. I'll do them now.
Yeah, we're in the zone. Do
we're
it.
In the zone. And then we'll start on a new topic.
In the ad zone? Okay. Amazon, yes. Everybody loves Amazon.com. If you're going to buy something online, why not look at Amazon.com? It's a great way to help support Riotcast and the YKWD podcast. And if you do, please go to Riotcast.com/Robert Kelly and click the Amazon button before you shop. By sending our listeners through this link, Amazon will kick back a small percentage of the overall purchase price to the show to help cover our costs. It really helps the show. There's no cost to you, and Amazon has some great pricing options for electronics, apparel, computers, books, DVDs, groceries, and more. So again, thanks for supporting the show by going to riotcast.com/Robert Kelly and click the Amazon button before you shop. Speaking of things that people like, video games are also good.
Doing great.
Thank you.
It's great. It's like you've done this before.
And Riotcast has partnered with game rental service Gamefly, giving our listeners a free 15-day, two-disc offer, a $22.95 value. That's right. Try the new Grand Theft Auto V, The Last of Us, or Diablo game for as long as you want for a fraction of the cost of the game. Gamefly.com offers 8,000 video games for PlayStation, Xbox, Wii, and now your PC. Just give it a try. If you like it, keep it. If not, cancel, as it's a free 15-day, two-disc trial. Go to Gamefly.com/YKWD for a special offer to our listeners only. A free 15-day, two-disc trial, or go to Riotcast.com/Robert Kelly and click on the Gamefly link from there.
Yeah.
So there you have it. A lot of great stuff.
You did great.
To get, oh, thank you. That's what I'm here for.
Encouraging you.
Read advertisements.
I'm going to tweet how great you did.
On the ads. Oh, good.
Get it on Letterman.
Perfect. Yeah.
Did you hear that Kelly got on Letterman just by tweeting how good Sam was reading ads? Unreal.
It was actually a retweet that got her on.
Louis, I wanted to talk to you. Well, you know what? Everybody feel free to chime in, but about the UFC fight that's coming up. You're a big MMA guy.
Well, Dave is also a huge
you are Dave.
MMA guy.
Like 20% bigger than Lewis.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'm
Sam Morrell has lost complete interest. He's going home.
Lewis just retweets whatever Dave says about MMA.
Are you talking about, because there's a few big fights coming up. Obviously, Nick Diaz versus Anderson Silva. Obviously.
I'm talking about the John Jones
Cormier
fight.
This is an incredible, incredible MMA fight. It's probably the height of like athletics in mixed martial arts, because you've got a guy who comes from just this elite athletic family, right? John Jones' brothers in the NFL.
Both of them.
Two brothers in the NFL now. Yeah. I know he had one who was Division I and in the NFL, so the other one's in the NFL now too.
They're both. For the Ravens
okay.
and the Patriots.
So, he's got two NFL brothers, and he's that type of guy. I mean, John Jones is a guy who, if he had dedicated his life to basketball, he would be
he's
one of the best players.
He's got two extra bones in his foot.
He's
got one extra bone.
Right, he's got the two.
I think could be one of the best players in the NBA. I think could be a wide receiver in the NFL.
Well, forget that athletic suit. Like, and you look at people like George St. Pierre, and I think he's the first guy to really break out in terms of like super athletes. This guy goes and does
size, though. He's got size and
I know, but I'm just saying he does like fucking gymnastics at a very, very high level. If John Jones wanted to become a professional dancer, he's such a good athlete that he could do whatever he wanted to do with his body.
It's just insane. It's like when you see it in like the NBA, you know, there'll be like some talented guys. There's like a guy who's a really good player, and then there's LeBron James, who is a next level athlete.
LeBron could play any sport he wanted.
Yes, exactly.
He'd be a Hall of Famer.
Daniel Cormier, the guy who he's going up against, is an Olympic wrestler who is, an Olympic level athlete. There's basically no higher level of athletic.
Did he win a medal?
So
did he win a medal?
Did he medal? No. But
so there is a higher level of athlete.
Fair enough. But he okay.
But
he was
the ones that win.
There's almost a higher level of no higher level of an athlete in MMA. And there's a few, and they are Olympians like Ronda Rousey, Dan Henderson. But Dan Henderson's from a different era as well.
Matt Lindland did get a medal. But
Daniel
I'll tell you,
Cormier
this guy is a higher level
athlete. Captain of the Olympic wrestling team like 8 years ago. It's pretty fucking close to the.
I'm just saying UFC was known. And when it got famous for years ago, being Tank Abbott, you know what I mean, being some dude who's a bar fighter in the
right.
hall. And this, in a lot of ways, to me,
yeah,
represents
back in the day, it was
like,
all dudes with bodies like Kelly Festuca. Now these guys are fucking.
Kelly, not to say you can't be an MMA fighter if that's what you want to be.
Yeah, Kelly.
You can tweet your way into the game. Tweet that you're tough.
They're so intimidating, these tweets. But I've been wondering about like what a big MMA fan's perspective on what's been going on with the promotion of this John Jones fight is. Because I know like when Brock Lesnar was there and he cut... I'm a pro wrestling fan. So when Brock Lesnar was there and he cut a bad guy wrestler promo on the sponsor, I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, I'm going to start watching every single UFC thing if this is what it's like. Right. But every MMA fan that was in the room was like, that's disgraceful, that's disgusting. There's no place in the sport for that.
There's nothing but a place in the sport for that. And here's the problem, dude. Let me tell you something. MMA, it's this fucking fringe sport, okay? And I think that there's a... And I said this yesterday on Hammer Fisting. There's a place in the sport for every role. And that's what's beautiful about this sport. It's a single-man sport. You have all these different personality types. Yeah, of course, there's a lot of room in the sport for guys like Rich Franklin or George St. Pierre, or the guy that's going to put a suit on and be very respectful and show you how humble fighters are, but there's also a place in the sport for the guys like Chael Sonnen or Brock Lesnar,
right,
or Nick Diaz, who when they get a microphone in front of them can generate interest in the fights.
I think the comparison, look, it's a sport, so the comparison to wrestling is a little flawed. Like, I just compare it to other sports. Like, look, you have, like, in the NBA, was there anything more exciting than that Pistons-Indiana fight? Yeah, is it bad for the sport, and is it not good? Someone could have gotten seriously hurt. It's not right. But it's exciting and fun, and we all fucking love it. And those things happen every now and then. You have the Dennis Rodmans, you have the weirdos, and then who, like, promote themselves great, and then you have the fucking, you know...
And by the way, we are not in an era where you flipping through the channel, seeing two guys fight in a cage is really a new or unique thing.
I mean,
anymore.
That's right, because I've never not been entertained watching a UFC show, but I've never been compelled to buy one or to go to a show unless you have somebody like Chael Sonnen,
right,
unless you have somebody drawing me saying this is why you should
you
care.
You get it now, but the first time you saw two dudes fighting in a cage and kicking each other in the head, you were like, oh shit, this is kind
of
cool.
Yes.
But it wore off a little bit.
Of course.
And this my theory as to why women's MMA is so exciting right now, because once again, there's this new thing. You're like, oh shit, these two hot chicks are in a cage fucking fighting right now. They're beating the shit out of each other.
So when you see Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier, when you see them actually get into a fist fight at a press conference, you're not rolling your eyes?
I'm not rolling my eyes because I don't think that anything the UFC does is not fairly deliberate. And I'm not saying that they set that up, but the UFC knows what's going on. When you have Dave Scholler, who is fucking no bigger than you, soaking wet, you know,
right,
when he's standing between these two beasts, dude, he's not holding him back. You saw the way they came at each other. Dana White tweeted once he landed in Bora Bora like an hour after it happened, and he tweeted he was
That's
like
how I describe this podcast right now.
Yeah, well, that's half the room.
Well, what's it going to take to get Joe List? What's it going to take to get a Joe List interested in MMA?
Joe, you liked it. You watched it.
I enjoyed watching it a couple times. You know,
you're a boxing guy, Joe, because you're a big sports guy.
How do you guys feel about Uriah Hall?
Did you see that fight
where
he had the compound fracture in his foot and he still won? Did you see that one?
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't even like a crazy like injury.
See, that was one I watched. I was like, holy shit, to fight on one leg.
John Jones had the exact same thing happen. Remember that one, the Chael Sonnen fight, dude, where you look down and it like your toes are like that, and it literally looked like he was doing the fucking Star Trek sign with his foot. It was fucked up, dude.
Wow. Yeah.
And if guy won the fight,
if he didn't finish Chael Sonnen in that round, Chael Sonnen would have ended up being the 205-pound champion because he was not answering the bell between the first and the second round.
But why does it bore you, Joe List?
Oh, it doesn't bore me. I just meant the conversation. I was just trying to be...
But
I do feel like there's probably a huge chunk of the audience that's never watched UFC or is into it.
Yeah.
Right.
And we lost them. They just fast forward.
That's not true. First of all, we've done
I hope they don't fast forward because the Bora Bora line was...
Yeah,
no. If you fast forwarded, rewind.
We'll make it the name. So
yeah, they have to know how did we get here from there?
That was big. No, I've enjoyed the fights that I've watched. It's just that's another thing I have to consume all my time.
You can't submit yourself to a new hobby at this point.
I mean, I could maybe at some point, but I like the classic sports. I'd rather watch a tennis match than two guys fighting.
Really?
You'd really
tennis?
Rather watch a tennis match
tennis
than
is
a
great.
I love
what?
Tennis. I'm with Joe.
Tennis sucks.
No, it's great.
No, it's terrible. I mean,
okay.
We get a
how
marathon
guys
match
fighting with tennis rackets.
Yeah.
To the death.
That's how Vandersloot killed the second chick. With a tennis racket.
Really?
Yeah. That's right.
With her tennis racket.
But, like, do you find tennis so interesting that you would have a conversation about it?
Yeah, it's great.
You would.
When you watch, like, years ago, there was a Rafter was in, like, a 5.5-hour, like, marathon match, and it was point for Rafter.
No, his name is Rafael Nadal.
No, Pat Rafter is another tennis player.
Oh!
Great.
Wow.
No one's ever heard of that guy, though. I've
never heard of Pat.
Because tennis sucks.
He won like a Wimbledon. He won like three Grand Slams.
Served, everybody.
That was a good one.
Scopo got served. Wow, God, you got to feel like such a douche.
What would the best
be is if Kelly just made up this rafter guy. That would be the ultimate.
Yeah, that's his name, rafter.
No, it's actually a different player. His name. Oh.
Wow. Anyway, it was 5.5 hours, and it was point for point, and it was one of the most emotional things. It was like a was it the U.S. Open? What's his name? The one that used to date Mandy Moore.
Rafael Nadal.
Roddick, yeah. Didn't he have another one as well? Went for like 5 hours.
That was against Federer.
Okay. That sounds like a nightmare.
It's absolutely
one tennis match for 5 hours.
No, it's good. It's
good. Emotionally.
I would
draining.
Literally rather watch 5 hours of your comedy, and I really do mean that.
No, that's nice, though.
It would have to be three minutes on a loop.
Just ignore him. Hope he goes away.
What about Monica Seles? She got stabbed. That's
exciting. By a crazy German who was in love with Steffi Graf.
If you could,
she was Yugoslavian. No, she was Yugoslavian.
No, she's German.
Don't. Correct, Kelly. It hasn't been working out.
It was a different European altogether.
She's not German. She's from the former Yugoslav.
Oh, Monica.
Monica Seles is from Yugoslavia.
It's great. I love it.
But if there was like a stabbing every seventh tennis game, then I would watch every tennis game in case there was one.
That's why
soccer's
so great,
bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. You watch tennis? You really do watch tennis?
UFC game, huh?
But were you a big sports guy?
Never.
See, me neither. I came from pro wrestling, and I think that's why MMA kind of spoke to me. Number one, it was just kind of like real pro wrestling.
It's not just that. Just it's more than that.
Lewis came from being a fan of pro wrestling.
No, right? I came from a pro wrestling background.
I played the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, I was the manager of the Kamala the Ugandan Giant for about 2 years, and then I got into comedy. It's my history. It's my origin story. No, but I wasn't a big sports guy, but MMA is like the purest sport. It literally is just mano a mano. There's no bullshit.
And you know what? It's quick. There's no 5.5 hour fight. Yeah. It's like the longest fight is like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And even that, you're hoping that it ends in three.
What does that say about the sport is if the best thing about it is it's over quickly.
Yeah, it's quick.
But then there's more. Then you could do another one and one.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, it's like they have to be in better shape than any of these other athletes for that short amount of time because it's so insane what you're doing in that amount of time. Yeah. You're doing something that is more athletically grueling and challenging than anything else, any other major sport, and you can get a shin to the fucking dome in the middle of it.
Yeah, and by the way,
right?
By the pure sense of fitness and exercise, it truly is, like when you think of concepts like CrossFit or muscle confusion, mixed martial arts, what you're doing is you're training in multiple disciplines. You're putting your body through all of these different things that you're never truly comfortable. The reason why MMA fighters are in such crazy shape is because your bodies haven't adapted to your sport because there is no adapting. It's constantly evolving. In tennis, you're just used to doing it. Swimmers
tennis
just,
is, by the way, one of the craziest, most like
athletically. Hold on, time out.
I'll tell you why tennis
playing
is
tennis
another one.
Isn't hard for tennis players, though. For us, it is.
Well, yeah, but no, the truth. But the reason why, like what you're saying, which from like a fitness perspective, tennis is tons of fast twitch
cardio.
Muscles
it's
and you don't
cardio.
Know which way the ball is going to go at all times, so you have to be right. So tennis does get a lot
in
of that
in the middle
into,
of summer
like
with 100 degrees
and
a little bit dome.
In the heat
people
and you have to
up on tennis courts
it's all
constantly.
It's all like a like fast twitch muscle actually like it's all about that. That's why tennis players are very young in general. Like what's old
for
a tennis player?
30
is old.
31, 32.
Yeah, there's no like, you know,
only Sampras, I think he played till like 38.
Yeah, but he was shitty
done,
his last
yeah.
6 years of his career. I mean,
wasn't he on meth?
Also, the conditioning in hockey.
Agassi.
No, Agassi was on meth. That's who
Agassi
it was.
Was on meth?
Yeah.
Agassi was all methed up because he was methed up. He was like a tennis ball. Yeah.
But the average tennis game is not it's boring.
No, because
not if you're on meth.
Yeah, only in the majors. Only in the majors do you go best out of five. Best out of three.
Women
out of five.
Women just go three.
Every other tournament's 2 out of 3, so the matches aren't, you know, could be pretty good for 2 out of 3.
Scoble, you really look like you would have played tennis until I see your butt.
Yeah.
Move that thing around.
Scoble fucking. Scoble just sat on the net on the side to hold it down.
I was good at doubles
on a windy day.
I could
day.
Be doubles.
Thomas was.
I need someone to help me out.
He was going
to
win nationals until like he was 12, 12 and under group. He was killing. Then those hips came in.
Did you start getting into more sports once you got into MMA?
No, I don't watch sports at all.
Right.
I mean, I'll watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is to me a horrendously boring game.
Yeah, I can't.
Baseball is meant to be a day at the park. Like it's meant to just.
No,
sit
look,
there.
I could go.
That
watch.
Is fun. Going to baseball.
I can go to any sport.
Yeah, hanging out with somebody and
beer, having a hot
because
dog.
That's eating hot dogs and drinking beer, and I could do that in a parking lot without the game on. And I'll enjoy that. If there's a game and people are cheering and having fun, that's just going to make it more of like
know,
a joyful atmosphere.
I baseball,
but I don't give a fuck.
People hate baseball, and I understand why. It is very boring. But like from someone who played it, I kind of watch it differently. You watch UFC differently than I watch UFC.
Because so
do you find UFC to be boring?
I analyze
with
baseball
a hard on?
Differently. Yeah, raging hard on.
What so about you, Sam?
I watch it differently. That's why baseball is not boring to me. But other people, I can tell it's so boring.
But Sam, what about you? Did you play any sports?
No. Do I look like I played any sport ever? Like
all of them.
Yeah. No, I played soccer for one season in second grade. Oof. And that was that.
You can't call it a season in elementary school.
Did they even put you up? You just sit on the bench the whole time?
I don't remember at all. I still have the participation plaque, though. But no, I've never ever. I think I'm in the same way as you. The only real sport that ever started to appeal to me was MMA, and that's not even in a big way.
Yeah.
Because I think it's because it's so basic and it's short. I'm big on this short thing.
Yeah. And it's like, look, dude, that's one of the things about MMA. Like, here, you know a baseball game is going to... What happened?
What's going on?
Just that Lewis, like, touched
that's Joe.
That's before he made that point, he went, like, as if we were on, like, Bill Maher or something like that. And he went, like, no, I see where you're coming from. But let me just
made
a face, like, what the fuck is Lewis? it was a really great moment for me and Kelly.
It was the gentlest touch of my life. I didn't care for it.
Now, I understand where my conservative friend is coming from here.
But you know, look, you know,
but this is the new
game.
You know what, dude? It's like we can have disagreements, but it's not hostile. It's still sensitive and loving.
We're all friends here.
Well, yeah. You know, Robin Williams died. We were all sad. Reeling.
Right, right.
But in a baseball game, you know it's going to go 9 innings. You know it's going to be a long game. In MMA, you're on the edge of your seat at all times. This could fucking end at the blink of an eye with
no, in baseball, you have the thrill of this could go 9 innings or 27 innings.
Right.
This could be...
We could never go home.
Really long day, or this could be the longest day of my life. Just depending on the way you look at it.
Excitement.
Are you a sports guy, Sam?
I am, yeah. I'm a big basketball.
Well, basketball is a little more fast-paced.
At least it's fast-paced basketball. Yeah.
Basketball, baseball, a little football.
Yeah.
Most stuff. You know.
Yeah. No, I'm lucky because my wife doesn't watch sports whatsoever. So I'll watch...
She's not supposed to.
I'll watch the Super Bowl like once a year.
You're not supposed to.
And
what are you, from the
40s? Yeah. Very misogynist.
Yeah. That's something that she should say. My husband doesn't watch sports. Right.
I love a girl that watches. My ex-girlfriend would be into basketball. We watch like 6 hours of basketball together. I love that shit.
I've never wanted
a girl to watch sports.
Do you do? Why is that?
I don't want them in my ear during a football game.
Yeah, but
they're not in your ear because they know what's going on.
Kelly should be together.
No girl knows what's going on in a football game.
Throwback.
Do you want to go on a date with Kelly? Is that what it is?
No.
Absolutely not.
I feel like a lot of girls. It's okay. We're cool.
They would be the perfect couple. Though, because Kelly was just like, well, of course, your wife isn't supposed to watch sports. And then Adrian was just like, no girl ever understands football.
I think a lot of girls watch sports.
I thought you were saying because they're both unfunny.
They'd be one of those weird couples that has the same body type, though. All right.
A lot of girls that are into sports are only into sports because he's into sports. And it's a real fake, yeah, go Tigers. And you're like,
they have like the pink Jets jersey or whatever.
Like, I watch sports, yeah. Like, yeah. No, you're not.
I think
you've
it's nice that they're
it.
Taking an interest in something I like, Kelly. Yeah.
I've
never wanted a girl to be into the hobbies that I'm into when I'm dating them at all. Like, I've never, like, whether it's a video game, whether it's pro wrestling, whether it's music, I want our interests to be separate first.
What kind of female wildebeest is in a pro wrestling?
Maybe that's what it is, being raised on pro wrestling. Yeah. Maybe we realize that hobbies should be separate.
But my chick always gives me shit about that because she was like, oh, we don't have the same opinions or tastes on the same type of movies or music or whatever. I'm like, but that's what's great about being with
Lewis
a person.
Lewis has his face painted. He's like, beat him into the cage. It was like, how come she can't get into this with me? I want to share this.
You bring each other out of your comfort zones and you kind of share and you pick up little things from each other. Like,
Lewis is writing poetry with his girlfriend and she's like watching cage fighting.
I wrote poetry before I met her.
Ah, good point.
I don't know, but what does it mean to like the same shit? Like, these dating websites that filter people based on you both like enjoy Guns N' Roses, who gives a shit if you like the same music? You know, it's, you know, values and energy are more important than, you know.
Mm. Coming from a guy who has been single for 15 years.
3 months, Joe. 3 months.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think...
Laid back joke.
Sorry for going for jokes, everybody. It's my bad.
But if you have enough of the same interests, I would think that your energies are pretty much the same.
But I like that. I like being with someone who doesn't have the same interests because then I get to learn stuff and it's a better conversation because it's more listening rather than just going, yep, you like him, so do I, good, yep. It's like boring.
That's not how conversations go if you're into the same thing. It's not like Sam and I are like, comedy? Yeah. We have conversations about it. We've been talking about UFC for 20 minutes.
It's more interesting if it's different jokes.
Yes. Enjoyable.
Agreed.
Let me find somebody who's not into what I'm into so I can talk at them instead of with them. But I guess, I don't know. It's probably because when I have a hobby that's like pro wrestling, I don't like most of the people that are into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a weird moment when you don't like I'm at a Yankee game or something, and I'm like, these fans are assholes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sports fans in general are fucking assholes. Like, you gotta think, and you're talking about in general, you know, look, I think most dudes in general are kind of assholes. You know,
and
think
chicks.
Back to high school.
Let's not leave them out of it either.
Everyone was kind of an asshole in high school, and then there was your little clique of friends that were kind of cool and unique in your own weird way, and that's that, you know? So
on some level, anyone who's a fan of anything is bound to be an asshole.
Anybody who defines themselves as a fan of something is fucking annoying.
Right,
like that really. And Kayvazi, I know you're listening, and I know there's a tear going down your face.
Yeah,
right,
can you
now.
Not
you're
say this?
Throw
to
your hand
you.
Up
Kayvazi, his t-shirt. He's in the room right now. He's chatting it up.
Is he? Kayvazi, bro, you don't change one thing about yourself. You're the exception to the rule. But if you are obsessed with something to the point where it's like your whole life is that, I think that's kind of fucking weird.
Unless you can turn it into something constructive.
Unless it's comedy, then you're totally cool.
No, but
stay away from this topic, Lewis.
No, you're not. Fan, no. I'm not.
You've turned it into something constructive, though. You're
a
professional
you
comedian.
Have a segment about Gomites versus Listomaniacs. What are you going off on? Anyone who's a fan of something.
If you are a Gomite, you're a little weird.
The Gomites. I think they've disbanded. They're done.
I'm kidding.
The movement's
over. Gomites, listen to me.
Well, that's why he makes all his fans interns. Yeah. He doesn't like fans.
Listen, Gomites, tomorrow 7 a.m. I need you guys all to be at the office and bring me coffee. No, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, that's a bombana. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
That's a fucking...
I feel like we
that was like a wild bomb.
I think we've forgotten to move this thing like 7 or 8 times.
Yeah. That was the worst kind of bomb where the whole room is confused by what happened.
I thought maybe he was going to go somewhere with it.
It takes you a second to even realize it was a bomb. Oh, that was supposed to be funny.
Yeah. All right. That was a weird one.
I just want to make sure you guys are paying attention.
Yep.
So, do you? That's like the couple. It's like the second or third time that you brought up being like a comedy fan. Do you consider yourself?
No, I just mean. I mean, you're saying defined by being obsessed with one. I think we're all very comedy obsessed. Obviously,
but I don't like.
I was just trying to make a joke.
I don't like talking with guys that love comedy.
You don't?
No.
Well, you picked a great podcast to do.
I mean, guys
that I'm like, you know, dating
you
or want to fuck.
Comedy.
Yeah, but I don't like. Like, obviously, they'll like it, but guys that are, like, big comedy fans, if I'm dating in and we're going to fuck or whatever,
why?
I don't like it because they're a little bit off-center, a little bit weird. And then every conversation ends with them going, yeah, all my friends say I should do comedy. I'm going to be really funny. What are you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, you say off-center. How am I not supposed to mention your tits? I was supposed to sit over here and just be an asshole.
Someone should take the bandana back for Lewis just for that one.
Oh, boy. That was fun.
Anyway, they're always a bit weird because they're like, I could do
comedy.
Wait,
are we on your tits still?
Please
don't be. I
don't
know where we're picking up from. All right.
No. Do you date a lot of comedy fans?
They, not really, but the ones that I do, I can't continue because they're horrible.
They're comedy fans until they see her, and then they change their mind.
Right. Do you fuck them first?
No, but it's just because every guy that's a comedy fan wants to start doing comedy, and then you start dating them, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to start doing comedy, and you're like, I don't think so.
Kelly
can't deal with somebody getting better than her comedy within the first time they do it.
They're on the same level.
Like, no, that's not it. I'm just going to block it.
No.
Can I just block everything?
Do you date girls that are like any of you guys into your comedy?
I think that's the only way I can get laid.
Is that right?
I never
just post up at the bar and hope someone says I'm
they've
funny.
They've never picked up a girl at a bar just off nothing.
Well, right.
They could never do it.
First of all, that's not even close to true. I used to get fucking laid way more when I was.
It's true for me. I have 100% never gotten laid outside of comedy.
Legitimately?
Or high school.
Legitimately?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, karaoke once, but that's the
yeah, I mean, she's fannier karaoke. Yeah.
No, I used to have fucking great game. I used to talk chicks into fucking me all the time. But in comedy, it's kind of, I was thinking about this.
Just talk them into it?
I dated a chick. I remember.
Come on,
I dated Alex.
Yeah, wait. How did you talk chicks into having sex with you?
You just don't ask and put your dick in them. Yeah. That's all.
Like he's a trial lawyer or something.
Because you didn't say charm them. You didn't say woo them.
No, you talk them into it.
How did you talk?
Shh, don't wake up.
But seriously, how do you? Because I've never been able to. I've never been good about that.
Daddy's here.
No, you just fucking game. You game chicks. I don't know. Me and Dave, we used to fucking
talk to them.
You just talk to him. By the way, it was a lot of it is just sales strategy. You play the fucking numbers, dude, and not be afraid to close. If you were legitimately just
Lewis, by the way, you say whatever you were about. Lewis had always had more game than me. Lewis was like unbelievable at pulling shit. When Lewis like was in pre Beatrice days. Pretty much every other girlfriend never stopped you. Yeah. In pretty virtuous days.
Oh,
well, I think everyone knows that, yeah, including the other girlfriends. They
and Beatrice.
And Beatrice, like, yeah. Lewis was, like, just... incredible game.
He was.
Incredible game.
Could you, if you're not afraid right. of hearing the
I
word
and
no.
Lewis, by the way, was yeah. not... Lewis is in, like, five times...
Afraid of hearing the word no or help or stop.
If you're, if you're willing to just scream over those words, turns out, you can have... You no, Lewis, by
it's
the way...
same reason he pursues comedy.
Oh, was fat at the time?
You were fat at the time?
Yeah. Lewis was not in any type of good shape at the time.
He was fat
it
six
looks
months
a lot
ago.
Better now.
This is recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, but I was also in shape before that. I was in crazy shape. Right.
I remember Lewis doing this. Lewis was a fucking... He was a beast.
Anyways, what's the story? So Lewis is a fat fuck. He's bald. He's an idiot.
He was a great guy. No, don't get me wrong. Because being in all seriousness, right? Lewis is not a bad looking dude. He's never been a bad looking dude. But Lewis did have things. He had things that could easily make a dude get in his own head and go, well, I can't pull this type of pussy. Like, I'm overweight or I'm bald or I'm this. And Lewis
you said
just
you
never,
would never tell anyone that I have a little dick, you piece of shit.
I didn't mention that. I skipped that. I was just, but I'm just saying, but Lewis just never, it was like Lewis always really believed in mind over matter.
Well, what
and he
was
made
Lewis?
That happen a lot.
It was, dude, it was genuine sales strategy. Dude, if you're always closing, if you're not, and you,
ABC.
Under, hold on,
Lewis
if you understand it's genuinely a game of numbers.
Right.
And this is the truth, dude. Let's say
69.
It's ABC, but instead of always be closing, those are just three STDs.
Yeah, but what was Lewis's, like, day? What was his ratio for, like, you know, 23-year-old trim or, like, 60-year-old divorcee? Like, what was he, like, 2-1, 4-1?
It was, like,
one?
All 23-year-olds.
It was all young
maybe
girls.
Maybe the occasion, one out of every 20.
Because it'd be funny to fuck a 60-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, one out of
you
every
do
20.
It.
No, I would...
No, his ratio of 20-year-old fuck or 23-year-old 10 to 23-year-old 5
Six.
Was 50-50.
That's good, though.
There
one,
go.
But I had a bunch of 10s in there. I did great in there.
Yeah, that's
but,
an
dude,
average
I was
of 7.5.
Dude. I dated a chick, this really hot chick, Alex, when I was when I first started comedy. Like, literally, she met me when I was doing comedy for like 6 months. And it's so funny because I was such a bad comic that I think back now and I go like, wow, dude, I have no respect for her because she was willing to fuck like a really shitty comic.
Right.
But a shitty comic who was killing. Like, you were always that guy. You were like a shitty comic who knew how to do good.
Yeah.
So there's still the thing. Women get very intoxicated by that. She was a 20-year-old idiot
she
herself.
Smell. She, no, she was 17. The fact that she couldn't.
I was trying to cover for you here, bro.
Which state?
It was legal. It's legal in New York, 17. I was 22. Who gives a fuck?
I think he was just trying to make you look like a more decent human being. That's all that was. It wasn't a legal matter.
But I used to get, back in those, I used to get a lot of fucking pussy after those shows, too. If Lewis wasn't lapping me, I would have been talking about me. But he was just like, I'd be like, oh, I fucked a girl. And Lewis is like, I had three girls in the bathroom. And you're like, fucking.
Well, your body is ridiculous now. Thing. You should get back in the game.
He can't, though. I'll tell you, he fucking, even if B left him tomorrow, I don't think Lewis could recapture it.
It's
I think
a
he's
weird
been
thing,
out for
dude.
Too many years.
Here's the thing, when you're, I'm now afraid like to fucking hit on chicks. And now you need comedy. I couldn't go back to a bar now and just walk up to a girl and be like, hey, what's going on? You're hot. We should hook up. That was the, it was as simple as that back then. I would be afraid.
Like, that's literally what you would just go up to a stranger and just say that. And you'd do it enough times that somebody would say,
yeah. I would do it in a way that was funny.
I don't have a chick, and I can't do it the same way I used to at the beginning of comedy. When I first started comedy, man, and I'm much better comic now than I was back then, but I can't, like, I just don't have the shameless young dude thing.
Yeah.
It's about you. It's
I'm
about
not
me.
As dumb. That's a bigger thing. Being just dumb and young, I mean,
full of cum.
but
you'll follow whoever to the bar.
You don't have that
go.
Voice in your head being like, "What the fuck did you just say?" You're
right.
Going to be a dumb fuck, you know. And that's
right. One time we were at a bar and I met this fucking Asian chick and she did that thing. She had a boyfriend, but she was doing that thing where like, or we were doing the thing. We were like taking her phone and like looking through it in front of her, like at her pictures. And she was like, "No, stop!" And there was a bunch of naked pictures in her phone. And she's like, oh, "I got a boyfriend." So we ended up hooking up. We made out that night. And when she wasn't looking, I emailed myself the picture from her phone.
Oh,
just a shithead
move.
Great move, though. So I emailed
her. Did you make the classic rookie mistake, or did you go into the net? Because everyone
knows.
No.
I made the rookie mistake.
The rookie mistake, obviously, I'll tell you. You text something from a girl's phone. You email from a girl's phone. But no, you delete it. Everyone deletes it.
Yeah.
What you don't do. Go ahead, Lewis.
Oh, no, I didn't even delete it.
Oh, well, what a lot of people do is delete, like, the other end of it. So, like, the sent mail.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
like,
there's
you know what I'm saying? You got to delete like whatever copy is laying on like her fucking thing. Like,
well, no, that's what I was talking about, deleting it on her end. I didn't delete it on her end.
It's like a real scumbag seminar right here.
Yeah, yeah. So she went home, dude, and like I guess was hanging out with her boyfriend one day, and he went through her phone and saw that she had sent this picture to me, dude. So I get an email from her like the next day, like she's hysterically crying. She's like, my boyfriend won't talk to me. She thinks that we, and first of all, I'm going, all right, bitch, you did hook up with me and you did let me look at naked pictures in your phone. So you're not completely innocent.
You basically got caught.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, yeah.
But yeah, that's the time I ripped a girl's phone.
So when did you realize that you could just be a dumb fuck and pick up women? Like, is this just something like you were just a dumb fuck and eventually it started working?
Well, once again, we were talking about being funny in the beginning. It's this thing, dude. I genuinely think I was, because I was a fat guy with a small dick, I had a need to prove myself with women a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, for the same reason you develop skills at being funny or you develop skills at being smart or personable or whatever it is, I developed a skill at being able to get in girls' pants. That was, instead of being funny or charming or whatever it is and the end result being getting into girls' pants, I figured out the quickest way to that, which is whatever it is, just talking a game. I would rather hook up with a less attractive girl that was willing to fuck me quicker than put in the time with a really, really hot chick.
Because it was strictly numbers.
It was numbers. It was the perversion. It was the idea of fucking two girls within a 24-hour period. That was always big to me.
Sure.
Like, I always wanted to, like, that would, like, really turn me on if I can get two girls within a 24-hour period. Or do it in public, do it in a bathroom within an hour of meeting her. That would really turn me on.
How long does it take you to step out of that game and be? Are you, you're married now?
I'm not married, but I got like serious chick with a baby.
Might as well be.
Yeah, yeah.
So, how long is the process of stepping out of that to the point where? Because I don't understand how you can go from being in the mindset of, it's almost like a competition with yourself. I need to go out tonight and have sex with a girl within an hour of meeting her.
I grew up and I stopped being obsessed with getting pussy. That stopped being really. I don't watch porn the same way that I used to. I used to just jerk off and watch porn all day. Like, anytime I was alone, I would jerk off a few times in the day. You know what I'm saying?
And also, just, she validates you too, right? Beatrice.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that definitely changed things. Meeting a chick that I was like, wow, I'm like head over heels. This chick is fucking bananas.
Dude, there's a big. The sex drive thing, though, I think is a big thing too. I mean, it's like, obviously, like, you found a good chick and settled down. But, like, dude, I don't know. I noticed a big. You know when they say the thing about how, like, I mean, I really do. If you say from, like, 18. When it's just like they say, like, you always were the horn dog in a relationship. Like, when you're 18, right. You wanted to fuck. You had to always convince your girlfriend to fuck.
Right.
When you get to be 30, they never want to stop fucking. And you're like kind of like, we already fucked today. Like, that's just, it just does, at least in my experience, like, it does just start. I'm not saying I'm like a 6-year-old who isn't interested in sex anymore, but it's like things have changed, definitely. Like, you're just not as drawn. You know, like,
my reload time has gone down.
For sure. For sure.
Kind of like once a day. You're young, Sam.
27? Oh, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But Joe, that's completely normal for you. Yeah. That's right where you should be.
Yeah. So
you should go to a doctor.
Kelly, how often do you masturbate?
Me?
Daily?
Yep.
Oh,
you
wow.
masturbate every day?
Vibrator?
No, I used to always use stuff, but about
yeah,
year
move
and
your
half
phone.
Ago.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
About a year and a half ago I stopped using toys and now I just do it myself. But
did you do that?
Most days, every day.
Wow.
If I miss a day, I'll probably go 3 or 4 the next.
3 or 4?
Yeah, man, I'm 32. I'm at the fucking peak.
You've masturbated 4 times in one day.
I haven't done it today, but I'll go home after.
But there's
I don't know. You guys all might be in my head, though. It might put me off. I won't be able to come. So
there's a day where you masturbated 4 times to completion in one day?
Yes.
Wow.
Many times.
Many times?
Have you ever done that? See, have you never done that in your life?
I don't know any girls that have done that.
No, girls
I've jerked off 6 times.
See, I've done that in my life, but I haven't done that.
Talk to a girl in her 30s.
Wait, did you say Sam?
Oh, I could do like the 4 fucks in a night when I was like 19 or 20. Now I'm kind of like 1 or 2. Let's fucking sleep.
Done. Most guys that are like 26, 27 can do that, but any guy in their 30s,
I can
I
can still like go for like a second round most of the time, but it is for her. Like, that's the fucking truth about it. It's like, I'm not
it's so
really
sad to hear.
Fucking
so
Dave
sad.
Smith. God's
to
gift
condom.
To women.
Yeah.
I don't even want to do this, baby.
No.
Sure.
I'm not saying any I'm talking about
you can have this
you're
dick.
Working up a boner, I'm saying, is the point. I'm saying you're not, like, really fucking, like,
right.
It's
what
like
she
I'm
get
concentrating.
You the boner?
I'm saying the second
she's
got to
be really hot.
Like, yeah.
So how often do you jerk off now?
I mean, I definitely jerk off every day, I think. If I'm not, but if I'm gonna fuck or something like that, I'll a lot of times I'll fucking save it. Like, if I'm gonna hook up with the chick that day, I'll be like, let me not jerk off so I really
Whereas,
fucking enjoy
may
it.
I
that's because you also
you
like
may.
To bust loads on chicks' faces.
I
really like to get as big a load as I can and bust on chicks. It's pretty hot. It's a pretty big thing for me.
I'm trying to not get the chick pregnant, so we have the opposite fucking reality.
Well,
here.
I don't.
You want less load.
I want less load.
Well, Lewis is all about coming inside a chick, which I don't get me wrong. I like to do that sometimes.
I
love it. I
like to come on the puss.
I'm very
shove
visual.
My dick back in.
That's how he got a baby.
Kelly, yeah, what are you going to say?
No, I just think it's funny, too, that Lewis is like, yeah, I don't want to get pregnant, so I'll jerk off first, because I think probably less Less sperm then, right?
You know, it only takes one.
That's
right?
Probably like, safe.
No, it, hold on. It legitimately is. That's an actual medical fact. If you jerk
off, you don't
off,
shoot as strong.
Yeah, you're the next time you come. Well, I don't know how many hours you have to wait for it to be a full load again, but it is definitely less of a load.
It's a half hour.
There's less sperm.
Wait, that's
is it?
Eating in the pool.
I will.
Kelly, what the hell was your point 90 minutes ago?
I know that they're never going to agree with this, but I believe in my heart, and I know every girl I talk to about
wrong.
Agrees as well.
Robin Williams deserved to die. You piece of shit. You piece of garbage.
All right. When these guys are talking about, like Dave was saying, you know, the next one's for her, and oh, not as much as I used to be, maybe I'm getting older. I think that, yes, age is a big part of it, but I think the biggest part of it is weed smokers. Weed smokers have the worst libidos. Nope. I will never date
that's
a weed
true.
Smoker
it's
ever again.
It's not true.
You know, we'll
never
true.
Do
it. Hey, the, you had you dated a guy with a hold on a terrible libido that happened to smoke weed.
It's all that happens.
No,
I know
no,
weed.
No, no.
I literally know weed
no.
sex addicts. I know weed hornet.
Yeah,
Lewis
I was
the biggest pothead ever.
Sex
literally
addict.
A sex addict. It's not true. It's bad for your sperm, but there's no.
I've never gone out with a guy who smokes weed that had a good libido.
But that's
every one of them that didn't smoke weed.
I'm not a pot smoker, but pot makes me horny.
Yeah, pot actually makes me pretty horny. Yeah,
it's always a better fuck too.
Kelly, anybody who
might have just seen you naked
when I. When I smoke pot, it's like that's like shit. The time I wanted to, you know, go down to girls when I was high. So I don't know.
Yeah,
you don't go down.
You're
to
talking about
way.
Yeah, but
hold
you're
on,
not a big weed smoker.
You don't go down on chicks beyond that.
No, I will, but I'm like, I got to date her, I think. I don't want to. I've done it on like.
Not it's not something
oh,
that you
I
like.
I love to put my face
me
right
too.
In
I want to
face.
Face.
I mean,
face.
I think it's so
intimate,
into
you know?
Butthole, tongue as
yeah.
deep
right.
as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a big oh, pussy.
My mom loved me, so.
Gross. You
know. And,
she loved me too for doing that technique.
Yeah.
They're all terrible.
But you're not really into eating pussy?
I'll do it, but I got to like the girl. I think it's the most intimate thing with a
God,
girl.
You're such
I agree.
A Jew, bro.
No, I agree.
I am a Jew, dude.
I'm not going to let a guy do it unless I really like him when we're at a place. What? I won't do it.
Kelly, nobody wants to go down on you.
You. Would you let a guy have sex with you before you let him go down on you?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think sex
really?
Is less intimate than cunnilingus.
Yeah. Same.
But you're inside of a person.
Well, I think on paper you're right, but just the
yeah, but he's
tongue and
I've never had sex on paper
head?
Before. It's always a blanket or a carpet. Bun up, bun up, farts. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'm Joe List.
So was your weed theory just based on one person?
No, it was based on... But see, the thing is, though, Sam, I don't believe is a big weed. Like, he might do it from time to time. And maybe Joe would have done it from time
not,
to time.
Yeah, I'm not a
I'm talking
Lewis
guys
was
that... Wait. Shut up.
An
I'm
ounce a day.
Yeah, I don't...
Lewis, you were addicted to weed and sex at the same time?
I would literally buy... $50 worth of weed every day, smoke it.
And the Jesus. Reason why I, for me, at least what I was saying, I know that Kelly's wrong because my weed level has been consistent this whole time.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is an age thing, not a weed thing.
No,
I smoked more weed back then.
But I reckon, you
like,
reckon, no, if I went through the last 20 guys that I dated and we factored in the weed stuff, it's always the weed thing. And
how
I'm
many
not,
weed
I'm not alone like this.
And how
like,
many weed
by the
way,
a lot of women
will fucking... like it's very easy when you kind of look back in retrospect to kind of build that case in your mind, but I think it's just a coincidence for you. I really do. I've never heard from anybody that them smoking weed does anything to their libido.
Yeah, but you know what I think it's like? You know when you first started smoking weed and you would get the munchies really, really bad, and then gradually as you started doing it every day, that kind of desensitized a bit. You know what I mean? Like, you don't eat the munchies.
Hold on.
I reckon it's the same thing. Like, initially get horny and then...
I'm not saying that it's even an aphrodisiac. I'm not saying that one or the other. I'm just saying that I don't think the two are genuinely related.
Number one, I've never heard that, what you just said. The munchies going away. I've never heard a pothead tell me that. Yeah. Number... Like, I'm a better...
I think you build a tolerance to a drug.
To a drug, but it still makes
you
hungry.
But you still get the munchies.
In fact,
but not as bad as you used to.
It's
I don't
tall,
smoke enough.
I don't know.
Look, here's what I will tell you, and maybe there is a relation to this. When you smoke weed, there definitely is like a depressing effect.
No, yeah,
to it.
Maybe less motivated
and
to try to hit on a girl
right,
to go get laid.
You're less
but
motivated
I like,
to go and take her out and
yeah,
go to the movie.
You're less motivated to do
and
anything, right?
And have a great conversation.
Maybe including sex. Maybe.
Or to really impress her and fucking get her in the mood. Maybe all that, but if she just wants to fuck, you're not going to be like, I'm too high.
A lazy
to fuck.
Getting blown and then fucking
yeah, I mean,
a chick. That's what weed's made for.
But no, you're right, Kelly. Maybe in your experience, the guys just stopped being like as romantic and the passion was gone. Maybe it was only the
hold on,
guys.
Wait. Have they seen your act yet? I just want to do a full study.
The
here.
Question is, were they more sexual at first?
I reckon any guy that wasn't a big pothead. I'm talking about the second and third
well, plus
reload.
You're masturbating like four times a day. So
can
what's it,
you,
how, what are you expecting
but if he's
from
there,
people?
I'm gonna like not do that if he's there, but.
You want him to have sex with you four times a day?
Well, initially the first one they can do, and then the reload of second or third. Like, if we have sex that night, sometimes it's fun to have sex in the middle of the night and in the morning.
Sight to have sex with you three times in one night.
I'm just giving him too much.
It's a lot. Is the only thing. Three times is a lot.
Are you talking about the DJ?
Three's a lot in a 24-hour period, do you think, to ask of a man?
With you?
I mean, if you're going a rut, every single time.
I've not liked one of them yet.
I mean, if you're in a 24-hour period, if you're like, we're going to wake up at 6 a.m. before the next 6 a.m.
No,
but
like,
that's not the way it works.
But you get home with someone, it's like midnight, you go home together, you fuck that night, and then in the middle of the night, you kind of both wake up and boom, and then the next day, you have morning sex. Like,
I
that's
love the
in
middle
under
of the night wake up.
Oh,
sex.
Isn't it the best? Oh, it's the best. Oh,
that's really
but that's
the best.
That's three gotta in under 24 hours. That's not that.
Yes.
Hard to ask, and it's not like I'm not doing anything. I'll make sure you know I'm a good fluffer.
I love good morning sex. That's always great.
That's
kind of wake up. You know, it's kind of similar.
I'd rather that more than the night sex. If I know he can't do a second or third round, I'll rather wait.
Look, you can't
the
blame a guy for not wanting to get up in the middle of the night and fuck. Because some people just aren't like that. Look, if the guy does, if he fucks you at night and then in the morning he's coming up with excuses, I'm telling you, it's not the weed. It's just not attracted to you. And I'm not even saying you, in general, the fans that are fucking listening. If they, if that's the case, it has nothing to do with the
drugs you're
putting
in the body.
I genuinely,
the one thing, and I'd say, I was literally just arguing the other point that, like, my sex drive has gone down in the last decade. I can't wrap my head around the idea of waking up and not wanting to fuck. I mean, that's when you want to fuck.
In the morning?
If I wake up and there's a chick next to me, I always want to fuck.
Anything, I do, like, this is what I do. If we're going out for dinner and then, like, a party or whatever, I will fuck before we leave the house at, like, 5 or 6 o'clock.
Yeah, you will.
And then you get drunk, you eat, blah, blah, blah. Then you go to bed,
no
sex.
You're not going
to
shower?
No sex when you
go
home, and then you can fuck in the morning because there's no expectation to fuck when you get home.
Just fucking roll over, look at Kelly just naked, farting, snoring. I got to fuck this.
Kelly just farts herself awake.
Kelly, I think you look great
this
today.
This room makes me
hate
myself.
I think you look great.
Thank you, baby.
I would rip that
James.
Shirt off and fuck you right from behind.
I was going to. If you were here that day I showed the nipple, I would have showed it to you.
One time, not three times in a row, though.
I would have showed
crazy.
You, Joe.
No.
I would have made sure it was okay with Sarah first,
right,
but I would
have
showed you.
What I would do is wake up first thing in the morning if we were together, and
tell
I would roll
more.
Over, put the pillowcase on your head, and then put the blankets around your body.
I think this is how Robin Williams killed himself.
Jesus Christ.
Why'd you have to bring it there?
This podcast will be out next Monday, not too soon.
That was Sam Morril, everybody.
God,
he's very insensitive. He's a big Jew face, too.
Oh, you know terrible.
Called the insensitive Jew face killer.
I don't
great shoulders, though.
Guys, you guys are being really harsh
the most
on Sam.
Insensitive
back
description of an insensitive person.
Oh, I just farted.
I don't smoke weed, but I don't. Like, I like middle
what's
of the
record?
Night. Sexually?
Yeah.
Not more than two.
More than two?
No.
Okay, but middle
but
of the night.
I like middle of the night sex, but never morning sex.
Never
morning.
Morning, so
I like it in the very beginning. I'm like, yeah, this is a great idea.
Oh, and then you're
and
like,
then I can never finish.
Okay.
If you can't come. Can't come in the morning.
Sam's self-conscious about his hair. If this is his afternoon hair, imagine what it looks like in the morning.
Yeah, no, I do start thinking about, I don't start thinking about my hair, but I start thinking about my breath.
Yep.
I start thinking about all that stuff. I can't come in the morning.
No, you don't kiss
you
in
don't
the morning.
Kiss,
you just
man.
Fuck.
You turn away.
Yeah, but it's still close.
No, you go, it's a lot of like to the neck. Like you go like past the mouth and breathe a lot of like breathing on the neck and stuff like
you
that.
You just turn her over. It's fine.
I do that too. And you suck her dick. Her pussy. You suck her pussy.
Yeah. Like
when was the last time we ran sexy? Anyone this morning?
This afternoon.
You got something else to do?
This morning. Yeah.
Get on your joke.
Yeah.
God, you're a trooper.
We had a great sex life.
Did you finish?
I did.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Good for you,
both
man.
Both finished. Aww. Good morning.
Good for you. Yeah. So proud of you, Joseph.
We have sex almost every day.
How long have you been with her?
3 years.
Wow.
Keep that going, buddy.
That's excellent.
You got to fuck every day. If I'm with someone and we don't do it every day, I think it's we're on the way for like bad things.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm good for like three times a week at this point.
Yeah, but you get up a lot very early.
Though.
You have early nights.
Three times a week is good. I think
for
as long as you're having it at least
good.
Once a week.
Yeah. How long have you been with your chick?
9 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I think at 9 years.
Plus, I'm up
like,
at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning.
I genuinely think at 9 years, that's like means like you're crushing it. Like three times a week at 9 years, you're like, oh, you guys are still like into each other.
You're
still like
fucking. You're perfect for the 5 o'clock, like the 5 p.m. sex because you don't want to have a
oh, yeah.
Like that's perfect. And
then when she gets home from work.
Yeah,
I'm completely ready. She's not, but I'm completely ready for it.
Right. What does she? What does she do?
She works in film, but she's like
porn.
She works.
She's
yeah,
fucked
she's a
day.
Porn star.
She's, that's why she's so tired when you get home.
It was pretty trying. The day.
There's something about like a woman, like a happy hour, like business suit. I think is so fun.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so turned up. Whether she's got a job or something.
Caesar is home.
I'm getting fucking horny here.
Yeah.
God, I wish there was a girl here.
Yeah.
Joe, I... No.
I'm joking. You're having a, you're that, taking a beating today.
It's that thing of, like, she's being a professional in
young
the business place.
It's so
and
wrong.
She's only there to work. She's there to... She's just like everybody else.
Young well, professional. Like 20,
dude, there's something...
24, 25.
Something about having, like, really sexy panties underneath, like, one of those fucking...
Yeah. Right.
Because like, it is just so that, like, oh, yeah, you're taking, like, this CEO who's very professional, very in charge, and then you're just making her your,
right.
Like...
You're dirty. Like, yeah. you came here for this.
It feels like... It feels like... It feels nefarious. I think that's why it's kind of hot.
Do you like the skirt or pantsuit?
It does love, feel nefarious.
Oh, come on. Like the
pantsuit.
No. The dress, definitely. The skirt, rather.
Yeah, I like the skirt.
And you like a pantsuit
pants
better?
Yeah,
what, you
want to
fuck Hillary Clinton?
What?
Yeah. No, a hot girl with a pantsuit with a fat ass? No, you just wear a thong on the knee?
Men do want to fuck their
so
moms.
Sexy.
You know what? Like I remember I was on a date with a girl on finance, and it was just so, it felt so nefarious. Like, she's like, I'll call a car service from work. I was like, oh my God, that's fucking
cool.
Oh my God, where do you see the bond market going?
Guys, you really got to scale Kelly's jokes. I mean, that was a fucking A plus.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate
it.
I just assume it's not funny. And I it was
according to the Festuca curve, she got an A plus on that.
That was a big one with the Festuca curve.
The best joke she's ever told on the Festuca curve.
I didn't
curve.
Hear it.
Yeah. Well, it's still, you know.
There's right, more than one Festuca curve, by the way. Why was that a delay? That should have been big, right?
Well, if I'm grading men on the Kelly Festuca curve, that was a fucking A triple plus.
That was the best one ever.
Do you tell the girls you're with that's what you're into? Like, do you bring it up, the CEO fantasy or whatever?
I should.
Not usually. I'm not usually like, you work in finance? That's what fucking does it for me. No, I don't say that. That's weird.
But would you say, like, why don't you just wear, like, a little skirt suit today?
They usually are self-conscious about it, and they're just like, I'm so embarrassed in my work clothes. I'm like, no, I think it's hot.
Right.
Yeah, there's something about someone she's dealing with. The more people she deals with that day in that outfit, the hotter it is when you're right.
Yes.
Fucking. I feel that way with my girlfriend's a comedian. I feel like there was just 200 people looking at her, and now I got her naked, and it's just us.
Right.
There's something
and,
hot about that.
And you know somebody, at least one person, if not many in that crowd, wanted to have sex with her.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're that dude. Person. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought
fucking mean, man.
But it is, look, man, if there's any, and this
yeah,
is a,
exactly,
and
it's this, great.
Yeah, like,
I'll tip my hat almost to, like, the women will say, like, it is a different kind of, like, struggle to be a female comic than a man. There is, if there's a cute comic chick that you're watching on stage, it's pretty impossible for there not to be at least one point in her act. Just as a dude staring at a girl for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
At one point, you're going to go like, oh, her like waist is like this, her tits are like that. There's no way to get around doing that at
you
one
don't,
point.
You
it sucks being a girl.
But
comic.
You know what? Hold on. I don't
you
know
don't think
that's necessarily true. I think women fucking visually
maybe not
men on the exact same level.
Maybe you're right.
I don't think it's the same level
important.
At all.
Not the hold same
level. Not even close.
I think we're different. I think we're
not even close.
You don't think there's women watching the Ustream of this right now thinking, oh, man.
No,
there's look
no
at there's
no, I
there's six hunk of
especially now.
Look at those hats.
There's this movement for women to be sexual, and I think that women, I think human beings in general,
by
are
now
very,
do you mean the 60s,
are very sexual creatures. And no, I think that women do take in men visually just as much as men, but the difference is it's not as important to them once they take it in and compute it. What's more important to a woman is that the guy is killing and being personable and owning the room. Us, it's way more important that she's hot. And
there
then
are
she's
a lot
killing,
of studies.
Also
yeah.
hot. There are actually a lot of studies on this on the way like that men take in physical viewing of women versus women taking of men, and they say that like I forget exactly what it is, but like men tend to see in parts more, women kind of take in the whole. I think there are major differences in the way we like break each other down.
There
like,
are definite differences, but if you see, as long as the female comedian on stage is cute, like say she's a 7, even if there's a 10 in the crowd, there's something about her being on stage that makes
comedy
her hotter.
Yeah. She's a 7, she's a comedy 8.
I don't think I don't know any, there's no I don't know any study. This is completely off of my I don't think any I could watch a girl comic do a half hour and I'm enjoying the show and listening, but the whole time I'm thinking about her physically also. I don't think any girl is watching fucking Bill Burr and just picturing his dick.
To be honest, I think
I'm visualizing the girl's pussy half
his
the time.
Dick.
And I don't,
oh,
it's
man.
Just natural. It's in me. I don't
yeah.
I'm still enjoying
I think,
the show.
Truthfully,
I think
they
harder.
Are more likely to do that with other chicks. To be honest, I think it's
yeah.
more like kind of break down what they're wearing, what their outfit is. I think there's actually all this sexist shit that women accuse men of doing, I think women end up doing just as bad, if not
Kelly,
worse.
Do you have lesbo fantasies about female comics? Be honest.
Oh, sometimes. I don't know.
I knew it.
Oh, if you
Joe,
fuck,
you were right.
If you could fuck one female comic, who would it be for Sticks?
I don't know. Maybe Glazer. She's pretty hot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, she's got a great body.
Good looking girl.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a few. Why? What
you gonna masturbate to her tonight?
No.
7 times?
My friend, I wouldn't do that.
Good
Nikki,
for you.
If you're listening.
But can I ask, what are you guys, like when you talk about women, what's the biggest
April Macy. Yeah.
Oh, Kayvazi just said that in the chat room.
Oh, April Macy?
April Macy.
What's the worst thing that a chick can wear when a chick's wearing something? Because we're talking about body, like suits and stuff.
Anything that shows your arms.
Besides what I'm wearing right now. All right, let's get the joke out of the way. You've done. Okay.
You dead serious, Kelly?
I'm dead serious.
Stretch pants with regular underwear is like one of the worst things
that a
girl can
wear. Oh, yeah, you've
told
me about that before.
That is literally like one of the worst.
Where you can see bunching on.
Where it's like granny panties under. Like, you have to wear no underwear or a thong with stretch pants.
He's saying that because that's what he's told me about.
No, he's saying it's a fact.
Because that's a fact. It looks horrible.
It's pretty bad.
I see it happen out there. It's pretty brutal.
No, I wear shorts.
I think like tank tops and stretchy pants, you know, it's pretty bad.
I just told you before, you can't do what I'm wearing.
I think tight stretchy pants is another mistake I've seen. Yep. Like, not like your friend's stretchy pants or something where there's like a little bag to it. It's like, no, those have to be tight. You understand?
You know what
like,
you mean as a comic for a distraction point? Like, what's the best thing to wear?
I'm talking about like when you see a chick, she's like hot, but then she's wearing something. You're like, whenever a girl's wearing a...
This doesn't happen as much anymore, but there was jeans with no back pockets for a while.
Oh, yeah.
That made your ass just look like it was gigantic.
It never ended.
Huh. There's something about, and I don't know, it seems like for some reason it happens more and more often. When a hot chick puts on a fake mustache because she thinks it's funny, it's the worst.
That is brutal.
Even once she takes off the fake mustache, it never.
Like, yeah.
I'm done.
It's over.
It's over.
What about the girls with a tattoo of the mustache on their fingers?
Hate that, too. That? Actually,
why?
I hate
What's
that, too.
What's the deal? I don't understand why they do it. What, is it symbolizing
something? Is your joke? That's the fucking joke?
Yeah.
I'm
not attracted to it.
Do you remember on Last Comic Standing, the one chick...
Stop flexing because you see Kelly fucking... Oh, do you guys remember? I usually sit like this.
What is hyped up for the last 3 weeks in a row, by the way?
Ida Rodriguez, she wore that yellow dress. It was actually the night
she got a lot of shit about that.
Well, what's his name? The Wayne's brother gave her shit about it, and he was like, oh, you shouldn't dress so distractingly. And I thought it was an interesting thing. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think your job in entertainment is to try to use every asset you have to, to try to get ahead. And if you're a very good-looking woman and if you have a nice body and people want to look at you and they want to look at you physically like that, I think that's only an asset.
It also depends on how you want to present yourself. Like,
I don't know. It does kind of... Sorry. Come off like you're a sexual object
But you might want to present yourself that way. If you're sitting there going like, you know what? I want to be looked at as sexy and funny, then you should absolutely dress like that. But if you don't...
Funny,
you do have to be funny.
Well, Schumer did sexy and not be funny. Schumer was hilarious.
She did an interview. I think someone. I didn't see this myself, but someone else said she dresses, sexy and well because in her mind, if someone's flipping through the channels, if she's just dressed normal with pants and a sweater, they're just going to flip right by. But maybe they'll stop and go, "Oh, that chick's hot."
That's going
to listen, and then they're like, "Oh shit!"
That's exactly what you said. She's using
jeans, like those promotions for a show on the subway. When she was wearing jeans and a little leather jacket, she looked so much sexier than she did in the glittery dress.
Yeah, but look,
most people don't agree with
that. Amy's also doing very sexualized material.
I
mean? Like, it kind of fits for what she's doing.
Right.
There's also other comics where although I'll tell you, I do see some very, very cute comics who really dress down, who I do tend to say to I don't know, I just go like, oh man, they're not using the fact that they're good looking.
Yeah, dude, if you're good looking, dude, and you're not using that fact, I think you're really missing an opportunity.
Sam,
right.
Are you all right, Sam? That's three times.
I've just been holding
it's a bit much.
An hour.
Yeah, I drink a lot of coffee, so I just
piss
guys
outrageous amount. I piss three times over the course of a night.
It's
really
like you'll get up.
That's diabetes, Joe.
You get up to pee?
What's that?
Do you get up to pee?
Literally twice a night.
Really?
I get up like at least
I'll hold
three
it.
Or four at least.
It's not healthy.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's not unhealthy. It's just a thing.
Well, no, because it interrupts your sleep. It's unhealthy.
Oh, but I fall right back asleep. I'm a good sleeper.
Oh. You're not that good a sleeper. You wake up like four times.
Yeah, to piss, so I don't piss the bed.
Well,
I fall right back asleep. I get good sleep. Don't everyone worry about me. I'm very healthy. Sam is going to die soon.
Not Sam Roberts. Sam Morrell.
Yeah, I'm going to die young.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that, buddy.
Don't die young.
I don't know.
But I was going to say, guys, I mean, it's harder to tell... does a guy know if he's a good-looking guy? Like, some guys decide that they're good-looking guys.
Yeah, and they're normally dicks.
I think you know if you're a good-looking guy.
But because there are guys that definitely dress like, you know what, I'm going to comics who are saying, I want to get teenage girls to be into me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But and when, so they'll take advantage of that, too.
When a guy dresses, like, sexy or whatever, or tries to dress nice, what you're saying, show off their thing, people usually think they're a douche. Like, Jane Cook wears, like, the tank top you're wearing and is special. Everyone I've ever heard from every comic is like, He's a fucking asshole. He's wearing a tank top.
But every
stink. He doesn't have good arms.
But every 17-year-old girl for a period of time had a crush on Dane Cook.
Right. And then like Eddie Murphy's wearing leather with like an open thing.
Dude, I'll tell you what, every time I see a guy wearing a leather jacket, always up being a dickhead and a douchebag. And
I think it was like
funny,
a cool thing for comics to do in like the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's like, awful.
People think Jeselnik is hot and he dresses nice. Yeah. He dresses like...
He dresses pretty normally, doesn't
no,
he?
No, but he dresses nice. He has a style to him. I think like, I look at Seton Smith. Seton Smith dresses nice. I don't think he dresses douchey.
Right.
Seton Smith, he's put
stylish.
Together. You know what I'm saying?
He scuffs it up.
So it's, you know, like, you know, you are not a stylish dude. I'm not a stylish dude. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No way, dog.
But girls that are going to be attracted to me aren't attracted to the guy who gels his hair is stylish. They're gonna be attracted to a guy who's got a little bit more rough around the edges. But the truth of the matter is, no, I'm in better shape now than I was 6 months ago. It is definitely better for my career that I'm in better shape and I'm not a fat fuck. 100%. You could tell me I could write as many fat jokes as possible. That shit is nowhere
well,
near
no,
as
yeah, there's some things like also, no, look, Chris Farley losing a ton of weight in his prime maybe wouldn't have been good for his career. Like, you're not doing a fat guy thing.
But you
like,
know it's like, how pissed people were with Jonah Hill when he lost weight. Everybody was furious.
I was like, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm trying to turn my life
he
around.
He was a yeah. funny fat guy. What happened to him?
Oh, you want to live? You faggot?
There's yeah. this irresponsibility of the public where you go like, oh, wow, you're fucking getting in shape. You're abandoning your funny. You're,
sell
like,
out.
I want to be funny for another 60 years. Well, I don't want to fucking be funny for the next 20 years and die of diabetes.
Well, I think
or a heart
these
condition.
Feminists who criticize every, you know, like that mother
oh, that
of three
of
who puts out a picture
mind,
of her
dude.
Looking awesome and she goes, what's your excuse? And they all go like, oh, this is anti-woman and anti-mother. It's like, oh no, actually, she's a role model. She's being really healthy. Her kids should look up to that. And some of you other moms
well,
were like,
the best
well,
part.
I'm a mother. They don't have an excuse
there. There was another woman who answered the picture and she was out of shape and, you know, not like terribly out of shape, kind of like a festuca. And she had three kids around her. And then
she had three kids,
yeah.
Oh, so there, that was the...
She had every excuse
gotcha,
in the
that
world.
That was the reason for the not being in great shape.
I don't feel
okay.
good about myself.
Kelly never had an excuse before this woman took it.
Kelly, how many kids have you had?
Oh, God.
Aborted
no?
or?
No. Wow. Okay.
Well, there's like a weird thing where it's like, why do we have to see your photo? Like, you know, I'm embarrassed that I'm a hairy dude. I don't post pictures of my
but
back.
But it is a shitty thing to do for that mom to be like, what's your excuse? Like,
no, I don't
I'm not
agree.
A fitness model.
No, but you know what?
Oh, that was, yeah.
It, like,
yeah.
what? Like, should, if the just because results, a mom is not a fitness model doesn't mean she's going to die of malnutrition.
My chick's not a fitness model. My chick has a fucking six pack right now. She just had a baby a year and a half ago. It's because she cares. She fucking cares.
But
it's
she
a bet. Why can't you be proud of an accomplishment?
You
it's like
be able
a genuine
to be proud
accomplishment
you
yeah,
have
to
work for.
No, but she was going further. She was saying, like,
that was
I'm right and you're wrong.
No, I no,
not
I think,
like, hey, look
point,
how great I've done.
I don't know that it's the point that she's making. That, the point is that your kids aren't the excuse, is what she's saying. She's saying, hey, if you don't have this, fine. But it's not because you're a mother
and beyond
of three.
That, how many, hold on, how many people fucking looked at that and went and said, dude, I got to get a gym membership. Let me go do this.
And it doesn't matter. If 100 people were
inspired to go and change their fucking lives.
If 100 people were offended and one person was inspired, then that was a great thing that she fucking did. Like, who cares if 100
people
are offended?
The end result is, the number one, the message is correct. Number two, if she inspired people to go out and change their lives and do something positive with their lives and not use the fact that they have a kid as an excuse, which everybody fucking does, then more power to her. You know, I think the message is an irresponsible message that you send to the public that, oh no, it's okay to be fat. It is not okay to be fat. This is coming from a person
well,
who's been
feminists-
over 120 pounds overweight. It's not okay. You're going to fucking die. Do not send that message to your children. It's
but what
not
if it's
okay.
But what if it's okay to be of average weight?
It
like I'm
not
in
okay
great shape. I'm not in bad shape.
More than 6% body fat, you fat fucks. Kill yourself.
So if you're 10% body fat,
I'm kidding, I'm kidding.
Don't kill yourselves. Get in shape and live yourselves.
Because I mean, if you're just like, ah, I don't want to get in shape. I'd rather spend some time with my kids and not worry about it. And then have this ad come out that says, well, what's your excuse? You'd be like, why are you being an asshole to me? I wasn't making an excuse.
Well
to say it's to me is a very self-centered
thing. Yeah, it's
thing
like,
too.
Look, dude,
it's
yeah.
your. I'm reading it and it says
okay,
your.
Okay, if someone's just know, like, if there was just like a picture of a dude lifting a ton of weights and he's like, what's your excuse? It's like, oh, I'm not as strong. There's still, it's not like an attack on me. It's
I would
like,
read
yeah,
it and be like, fuck you. I'm not
know.
As strong as you.
I don't take it that way.
I'm not an athletic guy.
I do feel that way, though. There was an ad, like a snippet, whatever you call those bullshit internet things. It was like a naked woman
a
who
meme?
Was probably like, yeah, like probably like 85 pounds overweight. And she was like, I have curves. And it was a whole thing comparing to like a whale, how a whale is majestic because it's big, it's not thin. I don't know where it is, but it was like a real thing. But I was like, it was like a thing of like, it's okay to be overweight and thick or whatever. Love yourself. But it's like, no, but you're unhealthy. You are an unhealthy weight.
That's the difference.
Take pride in yourself or whatever, but you are at an well, an
unhealthy this kind of like weight. This like it's like relativism almost, like this idea that it's just kind of like, well, that's a lifestyle and this is a lifestyle. It's like, oh no, I'm sorry, there are better and worse ways to live. Like, it's not just like, oh, you beat your kids and you don't beat your kid. Like, there are right and wrong things.
But there's
here.
But there is a like,
and we have an
it's not just
of
it's,
obesity.
Like, but it's not just either you have a six pack, you're obese. Some are like, I don't go to the gym that much, and sometimes I eat dessert.
By the way, I don't think that that
sure,
ad
I think
was
most of us,
I don't
yeah.
right.
That,
that's normal.
The ad, I think, the end of the day was meant to inspire. The point of the ad was the,
it was hostile
intent. I don't think it was hostile.
It was hostile in tone.
I think it
Sam
was.
Morrell knows I'm right.
Well, they could have said.
I think, I don't mind when people when you know adults. It's one thing, but when it's a kid and when you see a fat kid with an adult and they're stuffing fast food in their face,
right? That's dangerous.
When you, that's when you're like,
it's
all right,
abuse.
That's some form
it's
of
abuse.
Child
that,
abuse.
That's right.
It's abuse
because you should find a way to at least get some nutrition into a kid. That,
right.
That's the same as neglecting them, and that's
even
the
if
laziness.
You have to come in them.
And that.
What? Well, I just got 10 grams of protein inside my.
It wasn't so much of what you said; it was the enthusiasm right. with which you said it.
But that laziness is a similar laziness of letting yourself go as an adult, and that's the connection, you know.
It's yeah,
like, do something, take some with your kids.
Yeah, and it's
but
there's this thing. It's not a powerful
look,
ad.
But there's this movement.
If people aren't talking about it, I think people are talking about it. I think it did inspire a lot of people. So you have people. The only people who are offended are people who don't want
to doing the wrong thing. To be, look, yeah. I feel like we have a lot of this in our cult where like if there's a group who's offended, then we're all like, oh, you're not supposed to offend them, even if like that's clearly not the most important thing here. Like,
right.
We have an epidemic of obesity, and we're getting worried that some fat people might be offended by someone showing like the right way
no,
forward.
No, but when you guilt people into stuff, you're going to make them feel worse. And how many people...
Guilt is a very effective motivator yeah. for lots of people. It's one of the most effective human motivators.
Well, like, not with
shame,
like
guilt.
Drinking.
Yeah, shame, guilt. These are excellent motivators.
What about with the smokers and stuff? Every time you guilt a smoker and going, stop smoking, they're like,
thing,
oh, I want to have a cigarette.
And I talked about this on the podcast a while ago. There was an article. It was a thing on 2020. And they did a study on gyms, okay? And basically what they did was they sent a really good-looking skinny chick into three different gyms, and they sent a fat chick into three different gyms. And the point of the study was they came out, and they didn't have the cameras in the offices, but they were trying to say that they were trying to charge more money to the overweight people than they were to the skinny people. Aww. Because the good-looking people, they want on the floor because that's going to sell more gym memberships. It's just
right.
a bullshit, archaic, old thing. It doesn't exist. I worked in the fitness industry at three different gyms. I sold gym memberships. It's a sales job. You want to fucking make money. If I see a person who's 500 pounds overweight, my mind is going, I can sell them $10,000 worth of personal training right now.
Right.
So it's you're seeing dollar bills. You're seeing an emotional story. You're seeing emotional triggers.
It's a numbers game, like
this
everything
person,
else.
If I'm trying to sell you a gym membership, I'm trying to figure out why you're here. You're here because you want to live to see your grandson fucking graduate high school. With a skinny and shaped person, it's a little hard to find those emotional triggers. The whole point of the story was completely irresponsible and wrong. And the message that they were sending to the public was, hey, if you're in shape, you're going to be shamed when you walk into these places. So don't go in there. They're going to rip you off. They're going to shame you for being fat. And people just aren't going to gyms because they watched 2020.
Like it's the irresponsibility of doing a story saying that they're treating people with cancer really bad at hospitals and stuff like that when there's no truth to it. So you've got
so people with cancer
and
are not
encouraging
yeah.
people with something that is killing them
yeah.
to not go to the cure.
Well,
it's
pretty
outrageous.
Maybe. Yeah, and I definitely agree that there's
also
way
maybe people don't get their feelings hurt. You know?
Yeah. There's way too much sympathy for obese, and I wasn't talking about obese people should not be obese.
But even the average
but
person.
there is kind of with that ad a bit of a all right asshole. Like
Matt,
I got it.
Have you seen that show 600 Pound Life?
I have.
It's fucking unbelievable.
With the excuses
people,
that get made,
it's horrible to watch because it's great.
Kelly,
to
no,
watch,
that wasn't the TV. That was a mirror.
That's so mean. That's why.
Thank you, Sam.
I mean, it was
Sam,
funny.
You save that one because nobody else laughed.
But it was because it was mean. It wasn't that it wasn't.
Adrian, if you're gonna laugh, please laugh into the microphone so the fans know.
It's just really upsetting for Kelly, and I feel bad, but at the same time,
yeah.
I
well,
found
you know,
it to be funny.
Easy, though,
I was waiting for something to come. Something
well, you know,
was coming.
You know that dude, Stephen A. Smith, the ESPN guy. He
yeah.
Like suspended.
Yeah, he talks like this.
Yes. That, so he just got suspended for what was he? Look, what I took his.
He just got hired by SiriusXM. As a matter of fact,
and he got paid way more money, right?
Well, look, good for him.
He has his own show now.
But the thing. When he came out and he said like what I took it was kind of like, oh, domestic violence is horrible, it's awful to ever put your hands on a woman, but women, do everything you can to like get away from these men, don't come back. And it's just like these aren't his words, they're mine and how I took it, but like if Chris Brown beats the shit out of Rihanna again, he is a criminal who should go to jail, but she does have a little bit of responsibility. Like, hey, and by the way, that message may make some women feel bad, but it actually might stop some domestic violence out there.
Yeah, but
there's
there
was a story. Oh, Oh, sorry, go ahead. But
no, you that, go. I
it. It was the, there was the one story a little while ago where the Miss America pageant, the girl, she they asked her, what can we do to combat like or to
domestic kind of, violence or violence against women?
Violence against women. And she was like, well, I think that women should get involved in martial arts.
She's a black belt in Taekwondo. She goes, this is how I do it.
And feminist groups freaked out on her because men, they're sending
victim blaming.
Well, men shouldn't rape. We shouldn't have to learn how to defend ourselves. Men just shouldn't rape. Like, yeah, you're right, honey. Men shouldn't rape. But guess what?
Right.
It's fucking happening out there.
It's like so, having a fire extinguisher. It's a fucking, it's for an emergency.
No.
Fire shouldn't burn.
Yeah. Right.
No,
but
well,
that's a pretty valid reasoning that not to be on the side of these feminists. That's a pretty valid reason. What you're saying is, well, how do you prevent fires in your house?
No, no.
Get say a fire ADT. Say, make that a better. Is that, say
right,
ADT.
Fire's a bad analogy.
You go, okay, so you're setting
don't,
up.
I'm
a,
not saying never
you're
fucking
up a
do
home
that.
Burglar
obviously.
System. You're, set, yeah. you're setting up a, you know, a ADT. Oh no, people shouldn't rob.
There's
that's,
context.
That's literally the logic of it. It's like no. You're justifying the robber by setting up the Shalom.
But there's
shield.
Context.
But that's
to
not the answer to how we prevent abuse. Is to go.
I don't know if that was necessarily the question.
Because that's still going to be abuse. You're just defending the abuse.
Yeah,
but it's still a good like, way to prevent home like, robberies. Is to.
I am not defending the abuse. I'm not saying.
But
that
my analogy of like, how do you start keep your house from catching on fire?
Oh, wait, I said the analogy was shit. I said
I'm talking to Dave now, bro. Okay. Fuck off, dog.
Easy, dog.
I mean, I kind of see their point. If you're like, how do you prevent abuse? Well, you get just as strong, like. So when he punches you, you fucking duck and then punch him back.
Well, like, no, but something like, good, like trying to take
that's
preventative
also a good idea.
Measures. Obviously, men shouldn't rape. Obviously, no one should commit a crime. But saying something about preventative measures, like, I mean, that's actually trying to help the problem. That's not like...
And yeah, ESPN suspends everyone who's even talking about it. There's a no talking about Ray Rice thing rule right
yeah.
now. Or you get suspended.
Well, that's because they're invested in the NFL.
Of course, exactly. It's all money thing.
Yeah,
but,
ESPN.
But when you, it's, yeah, it's pathetic. But then guys who are bringing it up, and the guy who they just suspended was like, I did this 20 years ago to my now wife. It was wrong.
Yeah.
He's suspended because you can't even talk
she
about it.
She married him.
Yeah.
There's
he was suspended for talking about slapping
her.
Getting
rid of that money. Are you kidding me?
There's context to everything, though. Like, it just... Maybe what Stephen A. Smith said wasn't wrong.
What did he say? I didn't hear.
He said... He made reference to...
He said,
while this is bad, he used the word provoke. He said women should make sure that they do not provoke.
But to be fair, he did disclaim it about six times before he said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but he said
like,
it coming.
I'm saying domestic violence is horrible. Anyone who does that should go to jail.
But
Rice should have been suspended for way more than two games. And then he says, what I tell the women in my own family is.
But he said that coming out of the story that featured a woman unconscious in the elevator. And within 2 minutes, use the word provoke.
Yeah, but
so it's like, you know, you have to realize that people...
Well, yeah, people react to buzzwords rather than actual...
Exactly. There's not smart people watching television.
Crazy, but that's crazy.
And that's
kind of
your responsibility as a broadcaster to know what you're saying, especially on ESPN. It's not like...
I get it. I guess. I just hate that we live in a world where it's like, that's the thing. Well, you said a word. It's like, I love that scene
insane.
On a... Meet the Parents, like, hey, you said bomb on a plane. Like, that's it. It's like,
right.
you know, you
right.
said the word, so who cares what you were trying to say? And you know what else? Women, a lot of these feminists also, they will never admit to any part of anything ever being
true.
On women. Look, no, I'm sorry. If your boyfriend hit you and then you left, went to your mom's for a little, and then came back because he said he's sorry, and then, you know, you got in a huge fight with him again, and he, but like, I'm not saying he's not 100% wrong for what he did and 100% criminal, but you could have handled things in a different way. Like, there's that point can be made. Like, don't,
yeah, it can, but it's
yeah,
kind of like just
he,
like rubbing her face and
yeah,
the
why
shit
did he punch
afterwards.
Her in the first
like,
place? Like,
I'm
I mean,
not saying
like,
he's
hold
not.
On,
no, that's
like,
not.
If,
but,
if my
but,
sister got beat up by a guy, left and went back to him, she should be told she's a dumb bitch at one point.
And by the way, men don't
why,
get to deal with
look,
this at
I
all.
I get it as a as a as a
yeah, but you know what?
As,
like
as
like going back to live with this person is a far smaller problem than the fact that this person
yes,
hits women.
Yes, of course. It's not criminal.
You know what I mean?
It's
so, like, we don't really need to jump to make that point.
It's also
point.
Different who he is. He's a
no,
millionaire.
But I, no, I,
he's a
but
millionaire.
Sam,
he's, her life
Sam,
is fucking forever is taken care of.
Who are we talking about?
It's a little different, dude. Here, look, it is fucking, yeah, the guy's a piece of shit. That goes without saying. I don't think anybody, I think people,
yeah.
they go, it's one or the
it's
other.
A disturbing
no, no, no.
Video.
We're not saying that the guy's not a piece of shit. She deserved it. If now it's on her, he's a piece of shit. That's neither here nor there. But you have to sit there and go like, all right, you are a dumb bitch if you got beat up by a guy and you went back to him.
But you pull her aside and say
of
that,
course,
like,
you can't say
whereas
it on ESPN.
The public declaration, and that's still kind of...
I guess
how they're weighed. The public declaration probably should be against hitting women, and then the aside... After the point, once we've made every point, should be. And but by the way,
have you been with a girl though, and you accidentally like
something happened and you begged and
times.
You begged her for forgiveness. Like I fucked up, and you knew in your heart of hearts, like, I fucked up, and you begged her to come back, and she did come back.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, you could convince a girl.
Why did she come back? Because she loved you and she believed you. And then she's a dumb bitch.
She's stupid.
But then she's a dumb bitch because she believed you.
I don't know if the best way to deal with physical abuse is verbal abuse.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I've had girls who also, by the way, I've never been violent at all, like physically violent with a girl in my life. I've had girls who did like to... I always puss out when it comes right to the hitting part. But I've had girls who provoked me a lot of times. I've talked to this with my ex-girlfriend right now. She admitted this, that it was just kind of turn her on for us to like get in fights. And then fuck afterwards. She liked when I yell. It kind of turned her on. It's like, look at the beast. Now I know for a fact.
You are the beast.
There are
unleashed.
Women who do that with guys who have hit them before. And if you're doing that, you're playing a dangerous fucking game.
That's
and
like
I'm
no
just
percent
saying,
of anything.
No, Kelly,
well,
it's
girls,
not no
like
percent. It's like this. Like when
not.
Feminists say, like, oh, who fakes a rape? That's like no percent. No,
a
it's actually
girls.
A really big percentage. It's a huge percentage. I'm not saying this is the only thing, and that guy should still go to fucking jail. He's still a criminal. But if I jog through the projects and get mugged, no one's going to not mention what I did. Guys don't get shielded like this in life. They go, dude, you shouldn't have fucking been. Everyone right
but
away.
But this is the same like when black people are talking about equal rights and white people bring up, well, you know, it's not really that fair for us either. Yeah, but it's been way worse for black people longer.
No, but that's... But the,
I don't it's know, the same...
Worse for women than men?
Yes, for rape.
Oh, no.
For rape, but he's not even talking about... He's talking about physical violence. Look, we get sent to war. Women don't get sent to war.
By the way, why is it
whatever,
worse?
Yeah,
yeah but you're talking about... Yes. You're talking... No. But
dude, the idea that it was worse for women in the past than for men,
getting
I debate that.
But having the guy... Having the person...
If we go to another war, I say we send the beast, because I want to...
Yeah, but Lou, you're not getting sent to war.
And having the... It's not... See, being sent to war is totally different.
Neither are you, Kelly.
Living with somebody...
But if I have a...
Hang on. Don't worry about going to war. Because if you live with somebody... Who's stronger than you physically?
This is great.
Enough about going to war. But if you live with somebody who's stronger than you physically, but you love them and you trust them, like this is the person who I'm trusting my life to,
my soldier.
And then they start hitting you, that's a lot different than being like, I'm a man, I fight in war.
Yeah, of course.
No, you know what I mean?
No,
it's totally...
This is what you were saying. When you make the comparison from black and white people, it's like, oh, well, and you said we've had it much worse. I was just jumping on that and saying I reject the feminist worldview that women have had it much worse. My grandmother didn't get to work a job. She was a housewife, and there were definitely lots of restrictions on her life. My grandfather got sent into combat fighting in World War II. The idea that gender restrictions were harder for women than for men in the past...
Oh, women and children first, the Titanic, it was all men.
Yes, I completely reject that idea. Male disposability. Feminists will point to things like only men could be king.
Yeah, but
that's just one man.
The reason
a lot of those kings ended up getting murdered. So.
Yeah,
the reason
that king had seven wives, and the ones he didn't want before him, he chopped off the head.
And the reason that women and children went first was because they were looked at as weaker.
Yeah.
Sure, but also valuable. Also less disposable.
So, and they are physically weaker.
Except for a boat crash, men are looked at as better. Like,
no,
we'd rather have a man around because they're stronger.
Or a war.
Unless there's a boat crash or a war.
Okay, look, if there were...
So aside from war and boat crashes...
By the way, war is a pretty big one. I'm just saying.
Also,
you can just
hostage negotiations, it's the same thing. Women and children first.
Anytime.
Okay. And men are physically stronger.
No, you don't understand.
What about day-to-day life?
Okay,
where
I'm not saying that we're not...
Nobody in this room has ever been involved in a boat crash, war, or hostage negotiation.
I would rather be a man.
Yes, but my grandfather...
I want to put that out there.
I would, me too.
Right, exactly, because day-to-day, it's easier to be a dude.
But your period, there's a risk
of
rape.
You can say that.
Pregnancy.
I'm sorry, guys. This conflicts with reality a lot. You can say day-to-day it was easier to be a woman. The truth is that the reason when women went into the workforce, it was after the workforce stopped being a grueling, back-breaking, miserable place to be. The idea that these men who were working in the Industrial Revolution, while women were subjugated with gender roles, they had these easy day-to-day lives, is bullshit. My grandfather got three tips of his finger chopped off at his factory job and didn't get workman's comp for it. And this was after combat
fighting.
Yeah,
but your grandmother also is getting up early enough to, like,
it
you
was
know,
also
make
bad.
Her own butter.
Yes.
Fucking fridges were ice.
Yes. Yes. If
you could,
like,
Kelly's mom always goes, so where can she get butter?
Do you know what I mean? Like, she had
a woman's life of the 50s to a woman's life of today. Yes, I'd much rather be a woman today. I'd also much rather be a man. It's when you said, are we getting sent to war? No, neither are you. But if you're saying back then, it was this
if it's 1970, You pick man or woman.
If you're talking about a married couple in the 50s, I am telling you.
I'm asking. I just said 1970.
No, I would probably pick a man.
If it's 2014, are you picking man or woman?
Yes, I'm still picking man, but that's more of a.
If it's 2001, are you picking man or woman?
Okay, I'm not denying you, but it's not so much. I'm just challenging the worldview that it was all bad for them in the past, and we were the ruling supreme. My point is, if it's 1920, you'd probably pick woman, man. That working
I don't think
was
so.
Brutal, dude. If you go back to if you go back far enough, everyone's life is just a brutal, miserable existence.
Exactly, and so it's not 1920, and we're not sinking in the Titanic, and none of us are in war.
Yeah, but again,
so it's probably everybody except Kelly is in a pretty good spot. Right
I get what you're saying. But the idea that my grandfather's generation working in a factory and going to war was the norm, not the exception. So this idea that it's like, oh, it's just
but we're not your grandfather's
time.
Generation.
What about in 1920?
That is, that is how the conversation started.
I was talking about the past. I know we're not.
That's how the conversation started. Is that women have had it harder?
And that's what I was. So that's the point arguing to. Yeah. I just think it's a lot. If nothing else, it's much, much more
just
nuanced.
Say what you really want to say, Dave.
If nothing else, it's much more nuanced than women had it bad in the past. Men had it great. Much more nuanced.
Are you saying that women just complain a bit too much and it's not that bad?
Yeah. Dave hates women.
I just said it much better.
I am.
Okay.
I hate women.
Yeah. Sum up. Well,
did Jezebel.com pick this up yet?
Cause it's, I don't know.
Well, look, I'm glad we were able to remember Robin Williams properly.
He was a man and a woman.
He was all the way. Like
that's Aerosmith.
I know, it's from the movie Mrs. Doubtfire, which you're referencing, kind of.
All right, stop.
I always thought it was Do It Like a Lady, by the way. I didn't know it was Do Looks Like a Lady. I thought it was Do It Like a Lady.
I thought it was Do the Funky Lady.
Which means inferiorly.
Right? Which means just walk to a subway stop and totally not be worried about it.
Have an easier life.
I do feel bad for women. Like, I walk home and I get nervous that there's people behind me that I'm going to get assaulted. And I'm like, I think about my girlfriend. I'm like, that is a nightmare.
Absolutely.
Yeah, way worse.
Being raped obviously is not like a concern that we have to. I'm not denying by the way at all that in the 50s there were gender roles that were really oppressive to women, and that there currently are forces really oppressive to women. Again, like I said, it's just too simplistic for me to be like, for me to just brush off my grandfather's struggle.
You know what else as well, Dave?
Fighting in combat. But just brush that off. I have a problem.
Rape isn't just even like rape anymore. Now it's like if you get raped, it's a fucking, they're taking you in a car. You're getting gang raped by like five guys.
Yeah,
they put you
the
for 3 days.
Wait, what?
It's fucking nuts.
Dude, rape in the 90s was so awesome.
The most confusing shit I've ever
heard. Not only would that happen in the 50s, but no one would believe you.
And there was no DNA testing.
See, I'll admit that. Sexual assault was much less, taken much less seriously.
There was probably more gang raping in the 50s than there was today.
You reckon?
I don't know if there's more violence in America.
I believe so.
In America, more violence in general?
The 50s were way more violent.
I think the 70s were a lot more violent. The 50s? I don't know about that.
No, 70s
I thought
the
50s street crime was pretty peaceful.
It was the Bernie Bra movement, so girls like started to get embarrassed.
Yeah, but there's also like the crack epidemic and shit like that.
Black people were getting the shit kicked out of them in the 50s.
I don't want to sound like
we weren't just talking about rape. We were talking about actually just physically assaulting a woman and how a woman could defend herself. So it wasn't just sexual assault.
Right.
It is. Men here, and the point that I had made, and the point that David made about going through like a bad neighborhood, there needs to be some responsibility where you say, "Hey, dude, you know what the fuck was I doing
in the bad neighborhood?" And just like if I was in a bad neighborhood and I got my ass kicked, exactly. Well, why were you walking around in the bad neighborhood?
The first thing people would say to you is, yes. "What were you?" And you cannot say to a woman, "Hey,
by the way,
what
can
were
I just
you
say
doing
this
at
happened
that
to
party
me?
Drinking?"
This
can't
isn't a hypothetical.
Or you're a piece
right.
of shit.
Lewis, right. This is not a hypothetical. From cops, I got mugged at gunpoint, and the first questions they asked me right away. Hold on. This is outside my building, by the way. Happened at 3 a.m. coming back from spots, and they go, "What were you doing at 3 a.m.? All right, be honest. Were you buying drugs from these kids? Were you that?" Right. I mean, literally, just 5 minutes of, "What were you wearing?" Essentially.
Right. Right.
That's but the same at the thing end that of the day, a girl gets asked when she gets raped.
But that's the point that we're making is that you
yes,
can't
Kelly,
do
that's
that.
The point.
You can't do that.
But historically, that's what has been done.
But it does happen. But it's happened to Trayvon Martin when he got murdered. What was he doing? But this is what you do when you bring something to a cop. They investigate. What was by the way, there's this female blogger. She goes under the title "Girl Writes What." She writes about when she was really powerful. She writes about when she was raped as a kid.
Physically powerful, teenager. Huge arms.
Huge. But she talks about it. She was hanging out with these shitty people, doing drugs. And she goes, "I was a teenager. I knew I was doing the wrong thing, but I had that kind of teenager invincibility." And she goes, "This after I got raped, what was so empowering to me is I went to my. I was like, this is never going to happen to me again because I'm never going to be around these people. I'm never going to do this again." And so, it's like there does come a point where that can be an empowering thing to a woman.
So
like, well, now I'm going to learn self defense. I'm going to carry a gun or pepper spray.
And what you were
whatever.
Saying before was the whole, like, quote-unquote blame-the-victim mentality would also happen to a guy who was in a bad neighborhood.
Sure.
And it does.
It does.
That's
but nobody,
true.
Nobody questions that or nobody says anything. And we do have a history, and the point I was making about war was, no, we do have a history of violence against men. Men are, I think, physically attacked, just walking down the street, punched in the face. I think it happens way more often than this happening to women. That happens every day.
Bullying. The war in general is
by the way,
is almost
physical harm.
We're 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prison population. We imprison more of our own people than anyone else under the war on drugs, which is primarily
nonviolent.
Who are you
talking about? Americans?
Americans. Yeah. Primarily nonviolent criminals are in jail, about 98% of which are men. About 98. So we have this phenomenon where we send nonviolent men off to rape dungeons to lose all their freedom. If that was being done to women, do you think that would be a feminist issue?
Especially
do you think
if they call
be something we hear about.
Especially if they call them that. Rape
but that's
dungeons.
What they are. That's what they fucking are in reality. They, by the way,
I've never been. I don't
know. More men. Well, there's statistics on more men are raped in prison every single year than women in this country. Far more.
Well,
it's not actually far more, but it's more.
Let's create an awareness for
two
prison
more.
Rape. Then
there should be more awareness of prison rape. It's a horrible fucking phenomenon. Like it's mostly black
like
and brown
phenomenon.
Men.
Something like a phenomenon.
Well, on that note. Should we plug their Twitters and things like
yeah.
that?
Yes, tweet me.
Yeah, I don't know
What's
if you want
matter,
to.
Kelly? Did we offend? Are you mad at Dave or me?
No. I'm thinking about the conversation, okay. But it's like I'm thinking about everything, and I'm taking. But it's like it's what you guys. I don't know if you guys will get. It's like, I get that you guys are always thinking about, am I going to get mugged in this bad neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. But, like, with chicks, it's like, this is a constant thing. You're constantly just
yeah,
not physically as strong as this other guy. And it never leaves my brain that the minute I go around a corner because I'm going to walk into work or to a show or whatever, that there's a possibility a guy can just put his hand over my mouth. 10 minutes, it's all it takes, and my life's
fucking
gone.
Yeah, but I do
gone.
That, too.
First of all,
I carry my keys
just
on me constantly yeah. just yeah. in case.
Also,
behind
that's what I just said. You're saying you guys, I mean, I think... Dave is making an argument. I think you have your beef with Dave. We're
no,
all
I don't
saying
have a beef.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did I argue against that?
Yeah, by the way,
like,
I agree.
No, I'm just saying. She's like, you guys. Like, I just said the same
I'm
point that
saying,
you just
I'm just saying, don't
yeah.
act like we can't understand that, but because we can't understand it, dude.
I know, but what I will tell is, like, a lot of the times, though, you can't even... I can't defend myself with the beginning of something
because
I'm petrified of what that
no,
could
but
entail.
Didn't I say this a second ago, Joe? I agreed with this point. I definitely don't go through that. That's 100% like a burden
oh, yeah.
of being a woman that I don't
yeah,
know.
That's what I'm saying. We're
but
all agreeing because
about,
you're picking a beef with us.
And, that, and that's fair. And that's
thing.
A fair thing to talk
but
about.
Also like
have men try to understand that perspective a little right. bit.
There's also like a constant like... Like what reminds us all the time is that it's constant that sometimes we can't even say anything back. Like so a guy will stand in front of me and be like, talk to me, where are you going? And what I want to do is go, fuck off, get the fuck away from me. But I can't because that little...
Well, by the way, that's also that's a little aggressive. Can I say that's a little aggressive?
No, somebody, it's not.
Hold on, if somebody... Yep. Let me say this.
No.
Kelly, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, what's up, girl, where are you going? Fuck off. I think that's a little bit of an aggressive of a comeback.
You did say it in a tone that a lot of guys don't approach it in. A lot of guys
yeah,
don't
it's not.
Like
they're not actually
women.
Asking.
Well,
it's not a formal greeting.
There was a blog the other
yeah, you're
day.
A jerk. Guys,
no,
tweet
no,
Lewis
no.
for being such
there
an
was
asshole.
A blog
yeah.
It's 11 p.m. I'm walking home, and the guy stands in front of me. I'm walking in a straight line on the footpath. He stands in front of me and stops me, and what when I try and walk around, he's going, hey, girl,
can
girl,
I ask
and
you
I don't
question?
Say anything.
Would you agree, though, that there's a way you can do that not as a creep? Like, there's a way a guy could try to talk to you. Like, and just be like, hey, what's going on? You know
no.
what I'm saying? Like,
at 11 p.m. at
there's
night,
no way
when I'm
a guy
walking
on the street,
home.
A guy can't approach you on the street at all. There's no way that it doesn't come off creepy.
Because I mean,
I'm a big believer
so.
In, like, I think, like, guys do it in such a creepy
you,
way
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah.
You're just
yeah,
like,
but
what
you're
are you
that
doing?
Fucking much. You're that strong about trolling
Did
for
you
pussy?
See that?
Come
Did you
on.
See that one blog oh, about? First of all, Kelly Fasuka, I watch you literally on Tinder just swiping through dicks all day long.
Do you do that, Kelly? Do you swipe dicks?
Swipe a lot of dicks. I'm making fun of them. I don't see. I haven't gone on a Tinder date in like months.
But
I
look,
just fucking make fun of them.
There was a blog that came out the other day
no,
where
no
women were holding up. let me just say this. Women were holding up a sign, and it said it was things that guys said to them on the street. And some of them were really shitty. Some of them... I'm speaking to Sam, Kelly. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. She was distracting me.
What the fuck?
It's like I'm trying to pay attention to you, and Kelly's over here saying God knows what.
Ridiculous.
Women.
Can somebody rape her?
Jesus Christ.
That's not cool. That's not
Jezebel,
cool.
Jezebel Slate, please pick that up.
That's not
that
cool.
Not fun.
Save that for when Bobby's back.
Jezebel, who's
but what
out
it
there?
Said was it had all these like pickup lines that guys were using, and some of them were shitty. Like, yeah, what are you doing, girl? Like, come on your tits.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, a couple of them were literally just, hey, how's it going today? It literally, the ones that, hey, how's it going today? I was like, all right, maybe you're being a little bit of an asshole.
Yeah, but you know what? If a guy came up to me and said, "Hey, how's it going today?" I would think stranger danger too.
Yeah.
You really?
Yeah, I don't want to, like, what do you want to know for? That's why I carry mace. That's and I got my keys between my fingers.
Is he like?
But by the way, you can't also say that to me. Okay, forget 11 at night. But when these girls are out, it just fucking in these incredibly like sexualized outfits, looking great. You got, Kelly, let me talk. You can't say no one's. Right. Kelly, you can't say no girls.
You're
are
going down the. You're going down the. They're asking for it. Road.
No, I'm not saying they're asking for
it's
it.
It's just not good.
You're saying that girls don't ever want to talk to guys on the street? They don't ever want to meet people?
Probably not on the street.
There's no way that a guy can
I
approach a girl.
He's 30 girls from meeting them on the street in bathrooms.
You,
got,
you women cannot claim...
That's numbers, though. That's numbers.
You aren't picking them up, woman. You just said that you only pick up women in comic clubs anyway. What, which one are you going
no,
to?
No, she
like
said back in the day he got them in bars all the time, and that's what
and
he's talking about.
And on the street all the time. I would approach women on the street.
Dude, women, you can't... You're not speaking for all women if you say women aren't trying to get hit on. That's all I'm saying. Lots of women like to get hit on by guys. And I think I don't do it in a creepy way at all.
A lot of women don't, though.
Maybe. I mean, but...
No, a lot of women do. A lot of women
different
like
strokes,
hit on it.
For different
it
folks.
It makes them feel better.
Right, yeah. But
a lot of women. So there can be a lot of people that don't want it, and there's a lot of people that do want it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
There's
that's
millions why of each group.
But I just said that... I feel like people argue with me with things I just said. You can't speak for all... You're not speaking for all women.
Right.
I'm just saying there's lots of women who like to go to bars to talk to guys.
Dave, only Kelly and Sam are arguing with you.
And by the way...
they're both gay.
That's a two-hour mark,
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, mate.
Where can people reach you on Twitter?
People can find me at KellyFast or KellyVastuga.com. And if you want to come see me, I'm going to be at the Stress Factory Tuesday, the 9th of September. And on the Friday, the 12th of September, 10 o'clock, big, huge show at the Creek in the Cave. But I don't know. I'll keep you guys posted about it. It's going to be great, great.
Let's go around the circle.
Hell yeah. All right. You guys, first I just want to say I've never raped anyone. And you can catch, follow me on Twitter at Comic Dave Smith. Feminist. I don't think too many feminists listen to Bobby's podcast, but whatever.
No, it's, I would say zero.
Probably none. But if you want to hear more me defending more controversial views like that, check out my podcast, Part of the Problem, on iTunes.
And for the record, I find Dave to be both endearing and delightful.
Thank you.
For the record.
I thought you were a great guest host.
I think his dimples are asking
ever.
For it.
We're going to so fuck after this.
Yeah, that tension. She's unleashed the beast.
I'm at Sam Morrill, Morril, on Twitter, and upcoming Seattle, Utah, some stuff. So, am I not
moving the shot yet?
Moving. Oh, geez.
Yeah, yeah. Also, just throw out vague cities. Don't mention clubs or dates.
I forgot the name in Utah. Seattle, it's Laughs. It's in Kirkland's good, and that's September. So come see that. And you know, all right, look.
This is the funniest plug of all time.
It's
going
to be good shows.
Sam, Seattle, Portland, Toronto. Thank you.
I don't recall saying Portland or Toronto.
You're confusing the listeners now.
It's going to be packed.
King Lou.
That Utah gig is going to be big. That's not even a city. That's just a state.
That's true. All right.
Hey, guys, I'll be in the southwest region of the country at some point in my life.
Well, check my calendar. It's on sammorell.com.
Go below that Mason-Dixon line. I'm sorry I interrupted
right,
you spelling.
No one comes to the shows. Fuck the shows.
I'm Joe List, Virginia.
You just skipped Lewis.
I know, but I wanted to get that joke up before Lewis did. And Lewis is all quiet and weird. And it doesn't
I'm not quiet and weird. I'm happy.
Nice.
Fucking thrilled.
Lewis is just trying to delay so someone will get the bomb Dana.
No, yeah.
I think he wants to be last so he can make a big thing.
That wasn't a joke.
That was your last opportunity for someone to get it. I just thought, Kelly's speaking, this might be your moment. But, yeah.
It usually is, yeah.
Guys, go to my website, kellyfasickersucks.com, and check out my dates.
Is that really his website?
Yeah.
He's got like seven of them. He's got like seven websites for people to find him at.
But my favorite,
God forbid,
my favorite is kellyfasickersucks.com.
Yeah. Guys, it's one website. There's different URLs that you can
I mean, they're all backlinked to gomezcomedy.com.
But what's one that people could easily remember?
kellyfasickersucks.com. Just do me a favor.
It'd mean a lot if you could go through kellyfasickersucks.com.
If you think about Kelly, what's the first sentence that comes out of your mouth? Add a .com.
Shut up. Such a dick. You know how many people have created the websites like LewisJGomezSucks.com? All these fans of the show have made ones to him, and they all redirected it. I'm speaking. They redirected them all to my website.
I can't wait to hear
That's a very girl thing to I'm speaking.
Because he always does it. Because he's louder than me. Because he's louder than me. Just give your dates. But people need to go home.
Wait, so you're saying you have KellyPastukaIsAlmostAttractive.com?
Kelly likes to speak proudly over. She's like,
give your dates.
All these people made... It was jgomezsucks.com. Like Kelly, no. I was funny, and I made KellyFusukaSucks.com. It was funny.
What's the website?
KellyFusukaSucks.com.
Can we stop playing?
I didn't hear the just the first.
Fans of the show thought it would be funny to give me a rub. You're bragging about other people's funny that wasn't even original. It was just a playoff of my funny.
It is funny. It's funny to make fake websites that say people suck. I like that.
Yeah, there's like seven of them, so you're not going to miss it.
Okay, good.
God forbid someone not find him.
So we're about to cut out on
Yeah, we need to like wrap it up.
All right.
I already did it.
Oh, all right. Okay. At Joe List Comedy, check out my podcast. Those of you who aren't already listening, Tuesdays with Stories,
great
free
podcast
on iTunes. Thank you. And great job, Sam. I have the mic. Thanks, what a great episode.
Thanks. Killer. Adrian, do you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I don't know Twitter, but I would like to plug the Sam Roberts Friday Show, which is, I answer for Fridays on Sirius XM from 3 to 6 p.m. And it's Eric Nagel from 8 to 9 on Saturday evenings.
A-Rock.
Anything?
Just go to my Twitter at chrisscopo.com. I'm going to give you guys Bobby's dates right now. August 28th, 29th, and 30th. Bobby's going to be at Sarge Splitters in Tampa. And for you overseas people, the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, Bobby's going to be in Denmark, in Copenhagen, Denmark, at the Bremen Theater.
That might be worse than Sam's Utah thing. Overseas people.
Well, anyone's in Denmark. And go check that out. As always, Sam.
You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram at NotSam, NotSam.com. I have a podcast called The Sam Roberts Show online, which is also at NotSam.com. And the Friday thing that Adrian plugged is my show, so you can listen to me there. Thank you all. You're all a great group of people.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got up so early, anyway.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, what's going on? Robert Kelly here from the You Know What Dude podcast from Riotcast.com. And guess what? TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 3 months of this year, over 126,000 cars were sold by TrueCar certified dealer networks. TrueCar users save an average of around $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then all you have to do is register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step, this one is easy. It's simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
Been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.